Blog Talk Radio.
This is Debbie.
And this is Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. And you're listening to Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio.
This week, the economists who officially decide when recessions start and end declared the recession of 2008 to be over.
Don't touch that dial. You're about to join Securing Liberty.
World leaders have come together to establish a kind of a global socialist system.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Reread the oath of office, take it seriously, obey the Constitution. We are well defended against all enemies foreign. We should be much more careful about defending against the enemies domestic.
Welcome to Securing Liberty, the radio program free from the left-right political paradigm. The program that will expose government corruption, address current events, and examine legislation as we seek out the truth and explore ways to secure freedom for ourselves and for our future generations. Securing Liberty with hosts Debbie Lewis and Michael J. Weber begins now.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to this Thursday's edition of Securing Liberty, and I'm so unhappy Debbie's not here, but I'll be okay because I'm joined by the wonderful Mary Lou Van Houten. How you doing, Mary Lou?
Hi, Michael. It's great to be here, and it's an honor to sit in for Debbie.
Oh, even I can't fill those shoes. Oh, boy. What a day. What a day. So what's up with you this evening?
Well, I'm excited to talk to our guest, Christopher Blinn. I've just been reading all about his on his website and his book, and I've known about him since 2000, so I'm really excited to talk to him.
Yeah, the book is, let's say it might be a little controversial, and I'm wondering what he's going to be saying about some of the current events going on here.
Yeah, but I'm all curious about that, too.
He's a good journalist, and he used to write for the Washington, D.C. paper, The Spotlight, and we're expecting him to call in at any moment here, so talk to the folks while I screen this caller. It may be him. Okay? Cover for me.
Okay. We have a lot of interesting things in the news this day, and I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited to talk to Christopher because I've known about him since 2000. I met him briefly in Long Beach, California, during the Reform Party convention. I was working on Pat Buchanan's campaign, so I've known of him about him since then. So
come on, studio. Without further ado, let's bring Christopher on. Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's great to have you.
Oh, you're on with Michael and Mary Lou, and I think we've got a lot to talk about this evening, don't we?
Well, I certainly do. Yeah, nice to be with you.
Well, thank you. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about yourself, and we'll get rolling?
Sure. Was that Mary Lou who said that she met me at the Reform Party?
Yes, in 2000. I was working on Pat Buchanan's campaign.
Right. So was I for the Illinois delegation. And since 2000, I was working as an investigative journalist, and I wrote. I worked on third party campaigns as well, going back to Ross Perot, and then I was working as an investigative journalist in Washington D.C. and happened to be pretty close to what happened on 9/11, as I was an investigative journalist, it was right up my alley to investigate, what was said about what happened on 9/11 and what the evidence showed. And I wrote for I wrote for 6 years. I mean, I wrote hundreds of articles about 9/11, and then eventually I published a book called Solving 9/11, which is called Solving 9/11: The Deception That Changed the World. And as a companion to that book, there's also a book called Solving 9/11: The Original Articles, which contains all of the articles that I wrote about September 11th. And then in the back of the book, there's some related articles. And so I've gained some knowledge about staged terrorism, or what you call false flag terrorism. And I've been watching that for a long time, actually, because that kind of thing that phenomenon has been common in Israel and the Middle East for a very long time. And and now when I see what happened in Boston, at the Boston Marathon, that experience is very helpful, because I see the same thing happening all over again, although it's on a smaller scale. The bombing in Boston has all the hallmarks of another false flag terrorism attack, in which the media is seeking to convict these Tsarnaev brothers, to convict them in the court of public opinion, while the evidence hasn't been analyzed, and the evidence that has been shown seems to indicate that they are not the bombers.
Mm-hmm.
And they sure locked down Boston a lot quicker than they locked down New York, didn't they? Almost
yes,
like that was some kind of a FEMA drill or a martial law drill.
Yes, precisely. It probably was. You know, they've been practicing these kinds of crowd control and mass population drills for a long time. And there were drills going on. I mean, I suppose there's drills going on all the time in the United States these days, but there was a drill going on. And there were suspicious characters from the Kraft International, Kraft Company,
mm-hmm.
Which is a mercenary firm which has a skull for their logo. And their motto is violence solves problems, something like that.
No, brother.
And these guys were at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. So I think that the Boston authorities and the Boston Athletic Association owe the public an explanation. What were these characters doing? What kind of drills were going on? Were the runners in the Boston Marathon sort of like guinea pigs in a experiment or some drill that they didn't know about and the public didn't know about, and questions like that deserve to be answered. But what was interesting was I saw yesterday Mayor Bloomberg, who is really just the mayor of a city on the East Coast, a city that doesn't have a great deal to say for itself these days. Mayor Bloomberg has been the outspoken and saying that the Americans have to get used to the idea that the Constitution has to be reinterpreted in light of the events in Boston.
That's
now,
crazy.
Now, Mayor Bloomberg, it has to be noted that Mayor Bloomberg is one of the chief agents in the ongoing cover-up of 9/11. Mayor Bloomberg is an agent of the Rothschilds or of some the same people who basically brought us 9/11. And and for Mr. Bloomberg to come out and say that now the Constitution has to be reinterpreted in light of the events of Boston, I would say that's a very big red flag for American people.
Yes.
I
agree.
I would think that if the Constitution were being adhered to in the first place, with the stuff about foreign entanglements and supporting foreign countries, perhaps wouldn't have happened in the first place. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The entanglement, the foreign entanglement with the state of Israel is really detrimental to the best interests of the American people and the American Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really the problem, is that, the Israeli military and the Israeli intelligence apparatus, plural actually, they have got their fingers into all of the computer networks and the communications that go on in the Washington, D.C., and the United States, for that matter. But they have got their feet and their hands and their whole body inside the door of the Pentagon and the Department of Defense and the FBI, what have you. So what it seems to me, what happened in Boston was that there was a drill going on, And as I've written about, one of the chapters in my book is the terror drills that go real, basically. There was the London bombings. There was the sinking of Estonia in Europe. There was 9/11. You know, every single time that something like this happens, it happens within the context of an exercise, a security exercise. And usually the security exercise is exactly what happens. That is to say that the drill that they're practicing for, the scenario of their terror drill or security drill, is exactly what comes to pass or very close to it. Yeah, like in the case of the London bombings in London in July 2005, I think it was, the bombings occurred exactly on the same lines, in the same places, near the same stations, and on the same bus, as the drill called for. Now, what I think it probably happened in Boston was that a drill was going on, like we talked about, and that an outside agency that's really not very outside, like the one we just discussed, turned it real. They put, instead of fake bombs or whatever, they put real bombs and bombs that killed people and maimed people. And, one of the most important things to understand about these Chernyayev brothers is that the video evidence from Boston Marathon near the finish line shows that these two guys are carrying backpacks. Yes, indeed, they are. One, the older brother, Kamerlane, is carrying a dark backpack. But both backpacks appear to be very lightly packed. I mean, Joker Chernyayev is carrying his bag on one shoulder, as I used to do. You know, so he's carrying his backpack on one shoulder. Now, if that backpack carried a 20-pound bomb in it, packed with metal, a pressure cooker packed with metal and explosives, it would have been very heavy and cumbersome and large. Mm-hmm. And their backpacks don't appear to be heavy or carrying heavy objects. But most importantly, on the day after the bombing, the FBI special agent in charge of this investigation came to the, had a press conference, and he said that both explosives were packed in black backpacks, dark-colored black backpacks, nylon backpacks. Well, the thing is that although Kamerlane, the older brother's backpack, is dark, the backpack belonging to Joker that we can see him carrying is white or silver. So that would indicate that he was not carrying one of the backpacks that carried a bomb at all, because his backpack is the wrong color, And so for the media to be ignoring this is not anything that privy or secret information. This was printed in the newspapers across America. So we just have to keep the evidence straight and the facts straight, and ask the question: are these boys really the bombers at all?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well. Amazing stuff. But, what was the motive? I mean, I personally, if it was an inside job, which there are plenty of indicators that it well may have been, I the only motive that I can see is to practice cracking down and martial law. And, I mean, here they are looking for two teenagers, and they lock down the whole city and bring in the troops. I mean, what's up with that?
It's crazy.
Right. Well, that's a good question, because you see, false flag, that's the first question you have to ask about any crime. So let's take the two suspects, the FBI, who the FBI claims did it or is suspects of doing it. Chernyayev, the one that they said has written some sort of confession or admission of guilt in the hospital, before even being read his Miranda rights, without any lawyer present, without any, outside presence of anybody, he supposedly has admitted to it. But now the thing is that what would be the motive of these two young men from the former Soviet Union, from Chechnya or Dagestan, that area? What would be their motive in doing such a random, heinous crime? I mean, killing a little 8-year-old boy and a couple women at the Boston Marathon. It doesn't suit their purpose at all. If their purpose was anti-war, if their purpose was any sort of recognition of the rights of Muslims, what have you, it would be completely stabbing anything in the back, because it's such a heinous crime. On the other hand, if this is a false flag terrorism, which it certainly appears to be, in my opinion, then the motive becomes much clearer, because as you said, It escorts in this new way of shutting down whole cities, massive searches, breaking into people's homes and asking if they're who's there, who's not there, you know, using these new surveillance techniques. And as Mayor Bloomberg said, that we need to have more surveillance of the population. That's what he's talking about. Cameras, like they have in London, like they have in England, where people are filmed, you know, 100, you know, when a person walks through the streets of London on any given day, I don't know, they're captured on something like 100 different cameras or more. And so he's calling for that kind of intrusion, that kind of surveillance in America. And you know, that is completely out of line. But that's what this kind of because false flag events are meant to affect public opinion. That's the thing. My latest article, my article about this, which I've been updating as days go by, is called The Boston Marathon or The Boston Bombings. Terror is theater. Terror is theater. And that's a quote from the John Le Carré book about Israeli terrorism, about Mossad terrorism, called The Little Drummer Girl. Because that's what the Israeli agent tells the English girl who's going to be working with them, is that terror is theater. You know, that this is all created, and the reason it's created, the reason it's staged, the reason why these spectacles are carried out is to affect public opinion. 9/11 affected American public opinion in one direction. Now they want to continue this. This is like the second chapter of this, and they want to, you know, increase surveillance of American people, what have you. That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the Kraft mercenaries there, and now isn't Kraft formerly Blackwater?
I don't think, you know, Blackwater has become a company called XE, to my understanding. Yeah, Kraft is a company that was created by, from what I've read, by Chris Kyle, the Navy SEAL, who was the sniper who killed something like 250 people in Afghanistan and I guess Iraq. But he was this crack sniper who was killed a couple months ago on the firing range. He was working with some battle scarred, traumatized veteran, and that veteran pulled out shot him. Chris Kyle was the sniper who killed the most people in Afghanistan and Iraq. I consider sniping to be a very, very cowardly form of doing war, just like these drones, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To kill somebody from a great distance where that person doesn't even know they're being observed, you know. To kill people at funeral processions or at churches or mosques like they've been doing with these drones. To kill people while they're, you know, that American boy who was in Yemen, the 16-year-old who was killed, he was eating dinner. He was eating dinner at an outside restaurant, which is very common in places like Yemen, where it's very hot and they eat outside. And he was eating dinner when a drone missile fired a Hellfire missile or whatever, and killed him.
Yeah.
And you know, he was killed by a CIA missile, completely unjustified killing, and yet nobody has been held accountable for that. But I mean, this is where they're taking us. They're taking us further and further into this immoral zone where our freedoms don't matter, where everything is based on security, where efficiency and efficacy is more important than the rules of war, the rules of law, international law. All that's being chucked out. And we're supposed to, you know, it's like that old saying that, you know, anybody who prefers security over liberty doesn't deserve liberty either.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
Benjamin
what they're
Franklin.
Doing. They're creating this security crisis. It's very similar, you know, it's interesting, it's very similar to the movie Brazil. It was made by an Israeli Mossad agent in Hollywood named Arnon Milchan. The creative talent was Terry Gilliam. But in this movie, made in 1985, I think it was, Terry Gilliam, he's formerly from the Monty Python's Flying Circus and all that. He's an American, but the film shows a future in which terrorism is a daily fact of life, and where the government surveils everybody all the time. And you know, you'd ask yourself, you know, how does this head Mossad agent in California and Tel Aviv, how does he get these ideas? Because this is the plan. They know the plan. You know,
yeah.
They drew up this plan. They drew this plan in the 70s already, in the late 70s. And George Papa Bush went to the Netanyahu Institute and went to this big conference on terrorism and how terrorism will be the big bugaboo of the next generation, and it'll facilitate all these wars and surveillance and police state mechanisms that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
We have to turn this thing around. And I really hope that this Boston bombing is the straw that breaks the camel's back, because it is so full of inconsistencies and lies and what have you, that if
mm-hmm.
the American people don't if American people don't stand up and you know call them to account on this one, they will succeed in getting those cameras down their street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have it here. Blackwater changed their name to XE Services, and I knew they changed it recently from that. And what they are now is Academy, ACADEMI.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Kraft is another, you know, when bringing up Chris
yeah.
Kyle, they had that huge memorial service for him at the Texas, the Cowboys Stadium there, and Glenn
yeah.
Beck, and, you know, he was so, Glenn Beck was talking about what a hero he was, and, you know, Ron
yeah.
Paul got in all that, he got a lot of flack, because he posted about it on his Twitter account or something. He said, he quoted the Bible verse that said, those that live by the sword shall perish by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And he got a lot of flack for that, but, you know, here's a guy that's, I mean, I'm sorry to his family and everything, but here's a guy that was basically a paid assassin for the New World Order, and he's
yeah.
being hailed as a hero. And I guess he did come back and was trying to help some people with PTSD or something, but still,
yeah.
Look who we're making heroes out to be. It's not the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he created this company, and you know, these guys can be seen at the finish line. Their logo is a skull. Is a skull.
Yeah.
On their forehead, and it's like just like what the Nazis had on their on the totem poles, you know, the Gestapo or whatever, the SS had the skull and bones on their forehead. And I'm serious. Their patch says something like, "Despite what your mama told you, violence does solve problems."
Ah,
and that's the bottom part is that violence does solve problems. And it's like, geez, this is such a. And these characters were running around, and they were wearing like these Afghan fatigues. They were wearing Afghan tan pants, you know, military pants, and those Afghan boots that they wear, those kind of like high-top gym shoe type boots that the Israelis have been wearing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had these black coats, blackish coats, and inside they had that skull on there. And these characters were running around the finish line, and they had a vehicle there with all kinds of, electronics on the roof. But a couple of these characters were right there by where the bomb went off, and then at the last second, they moved over across the street. But what's interesting is that, as I said before, the backpacks being carried by the Chernaya brothers do
mm-hmm.
not fit the description of either the FBI, nor do they fit the description that one would expect of a... If these were pressure cooker bombs, which they say, a pressure cooker is a fairly large, cumbersome object. If you fill it with metal and ball bearings and BBs and nails, it's going to weigh at least 20 pounds, which is about the equivalent of 5 bags of sugar. And that's going to pull your backpack, that's going to distend your backpack, that's going to stretch your backpack, and that's going to be very difficult to carry on your back. And there are, though, the same cameras that caught the Chernaya brothers walking near on that Boylston Street also show some other characters with wires in their ears, you know, those wires that they wear for communication, and carrying backpacks, carrying black backpacks that are obviously large enough and heavy enough, stretched out, distended, and very heavy, that
mm-hmm.
could have been carrying something like a pressure cooker bomb. And, you know, when I grew up, I used to read these FBI stories at the library, and I read about how they solved the Lindbergh crime or these various crimes, how they solved or didn't solve the investigation process that they used back in the 30s and 40s. And now, when you look at the investigation done by the FBI, it's a trophy investigation. I mean, I don't know what they do with all the taxpayer money they do, but as we know, on September 11th, the FBI was in charge of the investigation, and they let all the evidence get sent to China where it was destroyed.
Yeah,
how convenient. And it's the same sort of thing now. The FBI, as Judge Napolitano has said on several occasions, the FBI has run at least 20 of such false flag terrorism attacks in the United States, three of which were interfered with by the public, who saw, you know, the underwear bomber, the Christmas bomber, what have you. But
mm-hmm.
but the FBI runs these operations in which they in which they incite and entrap young Muslims or young black men into compromising positions where they are then indictable for offenses that they didn't commit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have scores of young men in America locked up for the rest of their life for allegedly conspiring in plots which never happened, that were all dreamed up and carried out by the FBI. I mean, you have to remember that the first bombing in the World Trade Center was carried out by the FBI,
mm-hmm.
and they had paid the Egyptian informant $1 million.
Wow.
And now here we have another informant, a very odd person called Misha. Misha
mm-hmm.
is supposedly this Armenian who converted to Islam, who was like a mentor to Tamerlane Tsarnaev, the older brother, who would try to coax him into this radical militant Islam at the kitchen table, and uncles and aunts and people have seen this Misha. They describe him as being Armenian who converted to Islam, who had a red beard, who went by the name Misha. Well, I can tell you, this is not Armenian. Armenians don't have red beards. Armenians don't call themselves Misha, and Armenians
mm-hmm.
do not convert to Islam. This Misha is more likely an Israeli agent
mm-hmm.
working for the FBI, who knows all about this militant Islam, and who is coaxing and cajoling this Tamerlane to come along, come along, come along, come along, come along. And when they have enough rope, they hang him, and this is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe in my heart and from my understanding that Tamerlane and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev are not the bombers at Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And until the government and FBI show me and the public solid evidence indicating that these men are the bombers, I refuse to believe it, because I give them the presumption of innocence that anybody's due.
Mm-hmm.
But, a couple years ago I read an article, and I haven't been able to see it since, find it on the Internet. Surprise, surprise. But it said something about the Palestinian authorities had broken up three Al-Qaeda cells. And what they found after their investigation was that all three of these Al-Qaeda cells were started by Mossad mm-hmm. agents.
Mm.
Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that was in Gaza. I think that was in Gaza. That's very typical. That's the way it's going. The American people are not inclined towards terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And young boys who immigrated to the United States as 10-year-olds or teenagers are not inclined towards terrorism. It's not something that Americans do. Americans don't go around planting bombs and killing innocent bystanders at a race. It serves no purpose. It's nonsensical. It's just absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It's cruel. It's evil. It's heinous. And the people that did it for a reason. They don't go to such plots like this for no reason. The reason is as we said, the evil plot to take away our liberties and our freedoms, the few that we have left, and to increase this police state surveillance of us until we're like animals in a zoo who are watched as we go into every corner of the cage.
Have you noticed they're treating us like Palestinians?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. This Israeli intrusion, I would call it this. The way that the Israelis have pushed their agenda into the rest of the world. It was very clear to me in the, like I said, in the 80s, because I used to travel a lot between the Middle East and America and Europe, and I could see that those old techniques that the Israelis used to interrogate people on the border at the airports and coming into the country at the harbors was now being applied in Europe. Well, this is because the Mossad company, the LL/Mossad company that was running security in Israel, had developed these processes, was now running security at airports in Holland and Frankfurt and Paris, what have you, and London, and then they branched over to the United States of America, and they got this this company, ICE International Consultants on Targeted Security, was the key defendant in the 9/11 tort litigation, because this is the company that ran passenger screening and airport security at Boston Logan Airport on 9/11, also at Newark and other airports. And this is the company that obviously let these, if these characters with box knives and terrorist inclinations got on the planes, they let them on the planes. See?
Mm-hmm.
And this company was the key defendant, which is why we never had a trial. Why the 9/11 victims never got a trial, because if they had gotten a trial, this company would have had to answer questions about what kind of security they ran that day, and they're not going to do it. The same thing like with this Boston thing. Will the people of Boston demand the answers that we all need? You know, this is something that has to be. We have to know what was this drill going on. What was this drill that called for a bomb to be exploded at the JFK library, you know, that turned into a fire? And what is the evidence that you know, of these boys doing any of these things? You know, the media said that, for example, as soon as they labeled the Chernyov brothers as being suspects, they said that they had robbed a 7-Eleven. Well, 7-Eleven got on the internet and got into it and said, no, the video footage that they're showing is not from a 7-Eleven in the first place. The Chernyov brothers had nothing to do with any robbery at a 7-Eleven in Boston. But this I'm saying is that they front load the story. They front load the story with all the things that these Chernyov brothers could have done, might have done, would have done, could have done, and then in the court of public opinion, I call it guilty, guilty, guilty. Right? Everybody in America that watches Fox News or watches TV has already made up their mind that these boys from Chechnya did it. Fight the evidence. Because it's I call it a conviction in the court of public opinion, and that's what it's all about. And that's the same thing the media did after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
There's no investigation. You don't have to look at any evidence. Forget the pictures. Forget the evidence. Forget all that. The evidence is being destroyed. Believe what we tell you. This is the story. And, as all these people like Tom Brokaw said, is that reporting is storytelling. That's all it is.
Well, this is the evil part of the show, and Mary Lou. So if everybody, you know what's coming, don't you?
The commercials.
Yeah, we got to play a couple commercials. So if you'll hang on for just a couple minutes, Chris, we'll be right back with you and Christopher Bolin and Mary Lou Van Houten. And this is Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hey, everyone, this is Ron from Ron's Media Matrix on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Be sure to catch my show broadcast here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're listening in another part of the world, that's 1,800 to 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time. We're here covering breaking world news, current geopolitical trends, keeping you up to date on the latest science and technology, along with interviewing a wide range of guests, versed in a variety of special topics, and that's not all. Freedomizer Radio broadcasts 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, with other talk show hosts that cover a wide variety of topics, including health, current events, emergency preparations, spiritual interests, and much, much more. So be sure to stay tuned and at www.freedomizerradio.com. That's www.freedomizerradio.com. And if you're away from your home computer, you can always listen to us on your cell phone by calling 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
You're listening to Securing Liberty. Radio free from mainstream media fluff. where facts rule the airwaves and your opinions matter, with your host, Debbie and Michael.
And we are back with this Thursday's edition of Securing Liberty Radio. Debbie's not able to be with us tonight. She's out with William doing some on-site production for William Lewis Films. But I'm joined by my guest co-host, Mary Lou Van Houten, and our very special guest, Mr. Christopher Bowen. And, boy, there's so much going on. What, you know, these kids that are being blamed for this bombing, you know, I don't know. I just don't have all the information, but it's kind of sad that people jump to all these conclusions.
Yeah.
But what's really good about it is I've seen a lot of people jumping right in and blaming the government.
Good.
And that's good because people are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think is the most absolutely bizarre thing about this whole event?
Bizarre? Well, you know, the whole thing is bizarre, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that the government is the evil element here. As I said, what I think is more likely is that there was a terrorist drill that was hijacked. And it was hijacked by these same characters that have infiltrated into the FBI and into the government. You know, I don't know what's going on at the FBI. I really don't, because the FBI has gone from being supposedly a law enforcement crime fighting organization to becoming a kind of like a quasi terrorist army on its own. It is setting up these crimes and following through on them. I mean, for example, the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993 should be the biggest red flag. You know, the attack in Waco, Texas, on those people. You know, and that's an interesting thing, is that this arrest of these boys and the killing of these boys occurred on the 20th anniversary of the Waco massacre.
Mm-hmm.
In which something like 80 innocent men and women, Christian men, people were killed by the government, and this was in a way this eclipsed that, because there was no discussion of Waco, what happened at Waco, because we had a whole new crisis, and the thing is that these terrorists that are doing this inside the FBI, inside the government, are not the government. They're clearly not, you know. But they have infiltrated these organizations and corrupted them to the degree that they have. You know, in the case of 9/11, it has to be remembered that Michael Chertoff is an Israeli dual national. His mother was one of the first. His mother was one of the first Mossad agents. She was she came to America. She married a rabbi from New Jersey or something, and they came to America. And Michael Chertoff spent a lot of his childhood in Israel. Mm-hmm. And so. But this was the man who was responsible, who had overall responsibility for the investigation and prosecution, because he was the Assistant Attorney General at the Criminal Division of the Department of Justice. So the FBI was, in effect, working for him to obtain convictions to prosecute the crimes of 9/11. Well, as we now know, as my book makes very clear in Solving 9/11, what the FBI did with 9/11 was what I call a non-investigation.
Mm-hmm.
In which they allowed the most crucial evidence to be destroyed, ignored, thrown out, and sent. You know, right away they were taking these big steel beams, which was all that was left at the World Trade Center, cutting them into pieces that were 60 inches or shorter, and mixing them with other steel at these junkyards over New Jersey. Two of them, both owned by Zionist people, and then sent to Asia where it was melted down. You know. And this destruction of evidence is crucial. I asked Mr. Chertoff, did you authorize this destruction of evidence? And he said, no. And I said, do you know who did? And he said, no idea. Well, he's just lying through his teeth. He is the one. And so for people, for him to get on C-SPAN or NBC or any TV show in America and talk about anything without being grilled about the destruction of the evidence in 9/11 just is completely shows the connivance of the U.S. media, American media, in this criminal destruction of evidence.
Yeah, I was going to mention the media before the break, where a couple of things that I've noticed that, they've come out and said, don't look at the Internet. And I don't watch TV, but I heard, today that Rachel Maddow came out dissing conspiracy theorists. What do y'all think about that?
Well, that's the thing is that, as Alex Jones has mm-hmm. for his motto,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Alex Jones, I don't care much for Alex Jones, but mm-hmm. at all. But Alex Jones' motto is that there's a war on for your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they would know it. They would know it because there is a war on for your mind. And so, as I said, this war about who's right, who's wrong, and what happened in Boston, blaming these boys is being fought. This is the war for public opinion in the United States, and so they want to make us look those of us who doubt it, skeptics, people are looking for evidence. They want us to look silly and ridiculous. That's why it's mm-hmm. very important not to say anything stupid or asinine mm-hmm. or anything to be misinterpreted or anything racist or anything like that. And people who do so or say things prematurely, they make themselves look stupid because, you have to look at this scientifically. I mean, mm-hmm. logically, who did what? For example, all of these witnesses, all of these people who are by the finish line should be called in. All the people who are still, can be identified from these various photographs and whatnot, they had to be called in as witnesses. They were witnesses at a bombing. And so these characters walking around with big, heavy backpacks with earphones in their ears should be identified and interrogated and found out what did they know, what did they see, where is their backpack, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Old-fashioned police work.
Mm-hmm.
Simply take these two young boys and say, these are the guys, that's it, here's the story, that's as far as it goes. That's completely nonsense. We can't do that
mm-hmm.
at all.
I was listening to, God forbid, Dennis Miller the other night, and and he had a caller and said, don't you think that they should pick this guy up? They were doing the, it was at the time the siege was on with the guy hiding in the boat, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. they were saying, well, don't they want to take this guy alive so they can get information out of him? And Dennis Miller just, mm-hmm. he says, nah, they're guilty, just shoot him, save the taxpayer some money. Miller's a he's a first-rate Israeli firster,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. what do you think about this stuff that Glenn Beck supposedly has come out with? I mean, I kind of view it as just more subterfuge and mm-hmm. trying to get like you say
mm-hmm.
judgment in the public opinion, and it's this yeah. whole anti-Obama, it's cultivated, just like the whole anti-Bush thing was to
mm-hmm.
bring in Obama. I mean, they're all criminals,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
it's just the public perception of them. It's just divisionary tactics to get people arguing about things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly. I think one of the most important things is that this Joker, Chernayev, the 19-year-old boy, mm-hmm. as you said, he was apparently injured in the neck, and not able to speak. But he's being held in Beth Israel Hospital there in Boston, which is appropriately enough run. The president and CEO of Beth Israel Hospital Medical Center is an Israeli, and his name is Ilan Tab, and the doctor who runs the care unit for Mr. Chernayev, the boy, the suspect, is also an Israeli. So the two senior doctors at least, and other doctors in the emergency room are also Israeli. So this is in a hospital with a great deal of Israeli connections. Now, this is I had originally written in my article, how convenient, but my daughter said that was I should take that out. But that's
like
really
it.
What I feel. How mm-hmm. convenient that this terrorist character suspect is being held in a hospital by a couple Israeli veterans of the Israeli Defense Forces, doctors, and that security is placed at every door, Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself, security from whom? I mean, security for what? That mm-hmm. the mobs of Boston are going to come breaking down the hospital and lynching him or what? And then inside this hospital, a special team, high-value detainee team from the FBI and this kind of terrorism task force they have, is interrogating this young man without reading him his rights, without the presence of a lawyer. You know, this is all being done, and in this way they acquired some form of admission of guilt on some piece of paper. You know, we have no idea who wrote that. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what kind of drugs were being administered to this boy, what kind of possible mind, you know, psychoactive agents were given to him for him to say yes to anything. You know, they've learned this in Guantanamo. They got this one guy, this feeble kind of mentally feeble fellow that they call Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11. They got him to basically confess to everything that's happened since World War II. Anything bad that's happened on the planet, he's taking the blame for it. And it's like, it's absurd. So here they have the mastermind of terrorism who's confessed to everything, you know, that's ever gone wrong in the world, and they don't bring him to New York for a trial. Why is this man being put on trial? You know, why do we still have this gulag, this offshore gulag, you know, Guantanamo, where American laws don't apply? And you know, it's what they say is that they're going to try these 9/11 suspects over there in Guantanamo in this military court where people don't even have to swear an oath, where people don't even have to identify themselves in the process. And they call that, you know, and then they can get the death sentence there. Well, this is the same sort of tactics that they're using inside this hospital ward run by these Israelis in the middle of Boston. I mean, this is crazy. You know, this shows just how evil this whole thing is and how desperate they are to frame this young man.
Mm-hmm. In 2008, our wonderful president said he was going to close Guantanamo. So... And then, another one of these crackpot right-wing talk show hosts, Mr. Hannity, who I don't think is a great American, but said, don't read him his rights. You know, just let's get the information, because as soon as we give him his Miranda, that he's not going to say anything.
That's what they said. They said that as soon as they read him his Miranda rights, as soon as they read him his rights, he shut up, which means that all of this admission of responsibility, et cetera, was obtained before he was read his rights.
Exactly.
And that's very important because you know, we have no idea what was going on in that room. That's what that security is for, is to lock out people who might know, you know, and see what's going on. Because, you know, these criminals, they're the ones who need security, not us.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make is, how many times have criminals gotten off of charges because they weren't read their rights? But now this whole shift, I mean, it's like you say, it's controlling public perception. And for him to come on and say that, don't read him his rights, let's get the information first, then read him his rights. Well, it used to be that anything that he said before he was read his rights was inadmissible.
Yeah.
Right.
What happened to that?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, another thing is that, like,
they don't care.
They don't tell us the nature of his wounds. Even they don't tell us. You know, they suspect that he put a pistol in his mouth and shot out the back of his neck. But I mean, come on. In the first hour or so, this is like a Kennedy murder. In the first hour or so in the hospital, they would have determined entry and exit wounds, the number of wounds, the number of bullets that hit him. You know, what caused what, and we're not getting any of that information.
No, it's crazy, just crazy. And, you know, there's another host, and I'm not even going to mention this guy's name because he has all these his own conspiracy theories he's coming out, and he usually hates conspiracy theorists. But he was talking about, oh, my God, CARE, the Arab lobbyists, and he was saying how bad they are and how much influence they are, and you know, never do you hear any of these people talking about APAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee. And it's just like Israel seems to always get a pass. They're our best friends,
You know, and we're their best friend. Well, we're their only friend. The rest of the world hates them because they see what's going on with this garbage.
And then we're in cahoots with them. You know, we're their strongest ally.
Yeah.
And so that makes us hated, too.
Yeah, that's the thing is that as you know, when this happened, our foreign minister was over there in the Middle East. Kerry was in Turkey, I think. And then Chuck Hagel went to Israel, and they were all meeting. And there's a lot of Israeli involvement in this. But if you look at my book, Solving 9/11, what I found over the years, it took me a little bit of time, but, you know, first there was the evidence of Israeli involvement in the very beginning, the five Israelis that were caught, two of whom were intelligence agents, you know, celebrating the attacks, videotaping themselves, you know, all that. And then there was this instant messaging service, this telephone or through any platform, people were warned not to go to the World Trade Center that day. But over time, I found that every single aspect of the 9/11 crime, the preparation for the crime, the cover-up of the crime, was in every single instance, the person who made the decisions was an Israeli or a Zionist fifth column person, you know, a supporter of Zionism, a supporter of the State of Israel in the United States. And that's why my book Solving 9/11 is unique in the 9/11 literature, because I don't just discuss the anomalies, I explain and I show the network and the history and the motivation of the people behind the crime. And the same thing needs to be done with this crime in Boston. We need to do real solid police work and find who was really behind this. What I think is that probably the masterminds were up in that Mandarin Hotel up there on the top floor and watching down through binoculars and making sure that when everything was in the right place and the people were in the right position, that the bombs were detonated. And that's what happened, something like that. But this was an evil conspiracy that was carried out by an agency, a government. And then you saw the very next day, a couple days later, a similar incident was thwarted in Canada, in which a Palestinian and a Tunisian, I think, were arrested. But they're blaming Al Qaeda in Iran. How convenient, huh?
Yeah.
The Sunni terrorist group that's operating inside the Shiite nation, the group that the United States and Israel has been supporting, complicit is the group that is behind this bombing threat on the Canadian train.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how these things all happen like in a flurry. Suddenly there's a giant bomb going off in Waco, Texas, in West Texas, and there are exploding barges in Mobile, Alabama, and there's a bomb threat on a Canadian train, and there's a bombing at the Boston Marathon. So that it's like all around you there's a flurry of bombs going off. This is all contrived. Most of it is. Mm-hmm. Most of it's part of an act.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, since we're I say that a lot, don't I, Mary Jo? It's all theater. It's all illusion. To create public perceptions. Well, we're kind of winding down on time here. I want to ask you, Assad in Syria, he said that, the United States, they're funding Al-Qaeda still. I mean, we're supposed to have this war with Al-Qaeda, and he said they're still funding them. And it seems like the American military is a proxy army doing Israel's dirty work. Saddam Hussein wasn't a threat to us, but he was a threat to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Iran. Same thing with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the Syrian situation there, Chris?
Yeah, I follow it pretty closely, actually, because, I have a lot of Syrian neighbors, and the thing, I've been to Syria, and I'm a little bit torn, between about this, because I don't like the dictatorships in the Middle East, but then, the dictator might be bad, like in the case of Saddam Hussein, but it's much better than what we got now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we invaded Iraq and created a great deal of sectarian division in that country. And on the day that the Boston bombing went off and killed three people in America, 50 people were killed in Iraq. And Iraq is a country about the size of the state of California, with about the same population. And so, you know, the following day, 27 were killed, and the next day, 20 were killed. So on a day when only three people are killed in Iraq, that's a good day for them. And the same thing in Syria. The, you know, 70,000 people, they say, have been killed in this uprising. And as you say, the United States and Qatar and Saudi Arabia, America's closest allies in the region, are supporting this army of Sunni fighters and various militias of Sunni who are fighting against this the regime. And it's a really bloody war, and they want to divide the country as they divided Lebanon, you know, into sections where ethnic sections. But for the United States to be supporting this al-Qaeda, because many of the people who are fighting in Syria against the Bashar al-Assad regime are in fact al-Qaeda. There's no mm-hmm. question about that. They're open about that. And now the United States is upping its donations, its contributions to this rebel army. And so we're funding this war because this is like kind of like the Iraq-Iran war. The United States and Israel like it that the country is breaking down, is having turmoil, is having conflict and war, mm-hmm. as long as that war doesn't spill over on them, because it's weakening. They see it as weakening their enemies.
Exactly.
And it's a really evil strategy.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we have a caller on the line. I'm gonna bring Melvin in here. Melvin,
hello.
Are you with us? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. I was just watching the NFL draft.
Oh, okay. Do you have a question for Mr. Bowen?
Mr. Bowen, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
How big is your cock?
Okay, bigger than yours,
yeah.
Melvin. So,
bye-bye.
Jeez. no 5-second delay on this show. Damn. Oh, boy. I screened him. He, you know, said, oh, he wanted to ask a question. But, oh, well.
Yeah.
Best laid plans of mice and men here.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, Christopher, do you want your website? You want to give that out?
Sure. My website is bolin.com. That's spelled, it's just B as in boy, OLLYN.com, bolin.com. And the books that I've written about September 11th are called Solving 9/11. There's two books. It's a set. The first book is Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. And that contains my thesis that is supported by the 150 articles in the second book, which is called Solving 9/11, The Original Articles. And because they're part of a set, they both have the same ISBN number, I think it is, or Library of Congress. No, they both have the same Library of Congress number. And those books are available through bolin.com, or they can be obtained through amazon.com or through your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, what have you. So if you read those books, if you read especially the first one, the reader can understand how this kind of false flag terrorism works, where the terrorism is designed to affect public opinion, and the people who carry out the terrorism are actually blaming their enemy in order to win political points. And that's what we see in Boston, and that's what we saw on 9/11. And it brought us into two terribly disastrous and costly wars, and it's drained the American economy dry. And if we allow this second, false flag terrorism in Boston to have, if we allow the terrorists to get away with this one, I mean the real terrorists, they will take more of our freedoms away and put cameras on every street corner and what have you. And so it's really important for the American people to understand, you know, what really happened on 9/11 and what happened in Boston.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Well, we would love to have you stay after the break. Do you have more time to be with us tonight?
Yeah, I have a little bit more time, sure.
Oh, great. Well, that would be great. So it's time for a commercial, right, Michael?
Yeah. So I'll play a couple quick commercials, and we'll be back with Mr. Christopher Bowen and Mary Lou Van Housen and myself right after these brief messages.
Does the media ever deceive the public? a white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
We're back with Securing Liberty and host Debbie, Michael, and CD, waking up the masses and stirring up trouble for the status quo.
And we're back here. Securing Liberty with Michael and guest host Mary Lou Van Houten and very special guest Christopher Boland, who has graciously agreed to stick around here. So, in the news media, where's North Korea? Oh, it's right near China. No, I mean, where's it gone in the storylines, you know? I mean, it's like a plug for Debbie's great video, Peddling Influence, which can be gotten at williamlewisfilms.com. But, you know, there's like a few stories that are in the media, and all the networks seem to carry the same top stories with a little bit of fluff and entertainment garbage added in. Mm-hmm. And something happens, and the story that is, oh, my God, are we going to go to nuclear war? And, oh, my God, and then the next thing it's like, oh, no, it's, you know, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Kim Kardashian's bump or something, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's just crazy stuff. Now, I'm going to bring up something else. I'm not sure how familiar you are with this, but I think I read something on your website, Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the gentleman that was supposedly killed his two kids and himself?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think it was near Taos. Was that, I want to say Philip Mitchell?
Philip Marshall.
Marshall.
In California. Yeah,
yes,
in the foothills of, Calaveras. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty suspicious, too. I'd read he had some interesting 9/11 information he was going to come out with, and boom. So what do you know about that?
Yeah, Philip Marshall, he wrote about 9/11. I read his book. It's pretty interesting, about 9/11. But he was writing a fourth book in which he said he had discovered some new information, some very important information. What's important about Philip Marshall to understand is that he was an insider in the drug smuggling world as a pilot. He had been a pilot for Barry, what's his name? Adler Berryman
Seals.
Yeah, Barry Seals. His real name is Adler Berryman Seals. Barry Seal. And Barry Seal was this big drug smuggler who brought in tons of cocaine into the, you know, the MENA, Arkansas thing and the drug smuggling that was rampant in the 80s, mm-hmm. bringing cocaine in on airplanes from down south in, through Texas and Arkansas. And this is the crime that brings the Clinton family and the Bush family and I suppose the Obama family so close together. You know, nothing binds people more closely than crime committed together. And the stories from MENA, Arkansas are not just urban rumors or myths. These are true stories. And Barry Seal was behind it. He was the person who ran this big drug smuggling operation. And this man, Philip Marshall, was his personal pilot and had flown him around for years and worked for him as a – and so he knew Barry Seal. And I suppose that he had inside information on this criminal network that they did not want out. And his desire to write this fourth book, I read the last book, the one about 9/11, but his desire to write this fourth book and his growing publicity and his getting his books out probably challenged, threatened them, and they probably sent a team to kill him. That's what it looks like to me. You know, again, it's very easy to blame the victim after the victim is dead.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody, you know, the same sort of thing what happened with that J.T. Reddy down there in Texas or Arizona. This is the man that stood up for the Second Amendment right to protect the First Amendment rights of the American people in Phoenix. And he had a militia, a group of people who were armed, who were veterans, who were trained in handling firearms. And they were also patrolling the border down there against with Mexico, the Mexican-Arizona border. And, you know, Arizona is a very hot place in more ways than one. And somebody went to his house and killed his whole extended family about a year ago. And they blamed him, you know, even though another person in that house was an Afghan vet who, you know, people from these Afghan vets often lose it, too, and do terrible things. You know, all based on trauma and fatigue and you know, medications, what have you. And they lose it and they kill their immediate family. But no, the blame was put right on J.T. Reddy, and that's where the story stuck. They said he was a neo-Nazi, you know, the Anti-Defamation League had a card on him, and that was where it stuck. And it's the same sort of thing. They've been practicing this tactic. Same thing with the Dorner case down there, the cop down in Los Angeles who had been maligned. He had spoken the truth. He had seen an officer, a female officer, kick a suspect in the face, and while that person was being arrested, and he was fired for having, you know, made that note open by filing a complaint against that officer. That led to that whole big manhunt down there in Big Bear Lake and all that. And same sort of thing as what we saw in Boston applied a couple months later. You know. He had killed another cop. He had shot another cop. He had carjacked a car. Then the whole neighborhood had to be locked down and house-to-house searches for this fella. And then a terrible shootout in which the suspect is completely killed. I mean, just burned up and killed. And end of story. And that may be what they wanted to do with Joker, because I don't understand. They say that this young Chechen boy had been firing from the boat, that he was hiding under the tarp. Well, that makes doesn't make a lot of sense. And they had blown holes. They had shot the heck out of that boat with all these cops. And he survived. And when he climbs out of that boat, he's not carrying a gun or anything. I don't know. They have yet to show us what guns he had, what ammunition, what guns he was using. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence that he had any weapon whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. You know.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds. Philip Marshall, I'd like to just come out and say Philip Marshall murder, but it reminds me of the Jeffrey McDonald. You remember the Fatal Vision murders?
No, I don't remember that.
Was that the Fort Bragg guy?
Yeah, I think so. The guy, and he had found the heroin addiction level at the base going way up, and then he found that they were shipping in heroin from Vietnam in carcasses of dead American soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And then he supposedly he killed his wife and child and
of course, he had like, what was it, 47 stab wounds, including punctured lungs and stuff, and they said he self-inflicted the wounds to take, you know, take the suspicion off himself, and they convicted him.
What was his name? What was his name?
McDonald. I think it was Jeffrey McDonald. But he
was a physician
or something. Yeah, this is quite a while ago.
Well, it's very similar to the. I think it's similar to the Gary Webb killing. Wasn't it Gary Webb, the San Jose journalist, who wrote these exposés about how the CIA was bringing these same drugs we were talking about a minute ago, cocaine and whatnot, into the inner city of Los Angeles, South Los Angeles, and getting these kids addicted to crack cocaine and cocaine in the 80s. And Gary Webb, he was found dead. He was found dead with two bullet holes in his head, and they said he had done this himself. You know, this murder by suicide is a common thing, and that's why I feel I'm pretty fortunate because as these Chernyov brothers, for example, it's important to understand when the FBI sets up these people as it does, they surround them with people who are their friends in quotation marks. When these friends are actually all FBI informants, and I was in the same situation when I was living in my home outside Chicago. In the year 2005, for example, in 2005, we actually left my home in Chicago and Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and went back to Europe because we had found that three of the people who were our so-called friends were all informants for the FBI. It's too crazy, you know, when you have these people who are supposedly your friends coming, driving up to your house in the morning and getting on the cell phone and calling you and saying, hey, Helia, hi, Christopher, what are you guys doing today? And that person is right outside your house, ready to drive up. It's like it's crazy. And these are all FBI informants. One was a lady from the Philippines. One was a Lebanese guy from Africa. You know, one of those Africans from Lebanon originally. And the third one was an American from that area, and a handicapped person. And these three people had tried to befriend us, and they tried to help you. You know, we were publishing a children's book at the time. They want to help you. They try to help you. And we found out pretty quickly that they were all three FBI informants, and one had introduced another to us, so on. But when you have that kind of cluster of FBI informants around you, there's nothing good about that. So we preferred to breathe fresher air and go to Europe and get away from this the attention of these people. And this is what they were doing with these Chernyov brothers. They surround them. They email with them, they contact them, they visit them, they take them into places. Oh, let's buy these fireworks, let's do this, just so they can get. They're laying a track. They're creating a case against you, and you have to be very careful because they're building a case against you that can be used against you. It's the same thing with those guys from the 9/11 Arabs that were living in Florida. Something like six or seven of them had gotten duplicate licenses. That's to say that there were two licenses out in the same name. But the thing is that what that means is that there is one person walking around, one Mossad agent using the same guy's passport, who's laying down a false track of evidence, like going to the nightclubs and going to the strip clubs and drinking vodka and leaving and making these kinds of remarks about jihad, what have you. That is the FBI agent. And so that when the case happens, when the evidence is looked at, there's a whole string of evidence indicating that this person is like a terrorist. But that's been created. That false history has been created for that suspect, by the Mossad, by the intelligence people. And if you read Little Drummer Girl by John le Carré, you will see how that is done. That's what they do. They create a false history for people. And that's what they did for the Chernyov boys. That's what they were trying to do for me. And that's what they did with those Arabs down there in Florida who were involved in 9/11. That's how they operate. So when you understand these tactics that they use, then it becomes much clearer what's going on.
All paid for with our tax dollars, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes me sick.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
don't everybody speak at once.
Well, it's so hard when we're all disassociated on different phones and stuff. And I used to do a show in a studio with a guest host. It was much easier because, we just hit each other or something.
Well, I would say one thing. You raised the question of North Korea a minute ago, and they tried to North Korea is trying to hit the United States with nuclear weapons, and I don't think they would do such a thing. That would be completely suicidal for a country like North Korea, because the United States would probably do something extremely terrible to that country and everybody in it. But there's a greater nuclear threat that is on the West Coast, and that is the leaking nuclear waste up in Hanford, Washington, Columbia River. There's the, that's where the United States created the plutonium for the entire nuclear arsenal of the United States of America. All these nuclear bombs that we have, all the plutonium was created at Hanford. And in creating that plutonium, they created a great deal of radioactive nuclear waste. Very, very hot stuff. And the hottest tank contains 850,000 gallons of extremely hot nuclear waste that, if it got into the environment, would cause it would be a catastrophe. It would be a catastrophe for the entire Northwest United States, for the United States of America. It would be this simmering pot of 850,000 gallons of hot radioactive waste is now leaking. And for the first year the leak was discovered, there's a double walled tank, and the first tank has leaked. It's getting into the empty space between the first tank and the second wall, and if it gets out beyond that, it's going to flow. It's going to go into the groundwater, and it's going to get into the Columbia River, and it's going to contaminate that entire Portland, Seattle area. But this problem has been ignored for over a year, because the company that subcontracted to watch this, to monitor this, they preferred to ignore it, because they pretended that it was something wrong with the measuring devices. They pretended it was anything but a leak, and now we have a very serious problem, and that waste has to be dealt with in a proper way. I don't know what that proper way is. They probably don't know either, because they haven't done it yet. And that is a nuclear catastrophe just waiting to happen. And that's what we have to worry about. We don't have to worry about North Korea. We don't have to worry about the nukes in Iran. We have to worry about the nuclear waste in our own backyard, and especially what's going on in Hanford, Washington. I've been getting emails from people out there in the Washington area and Oregon area who are very alarmed about this, because it's a big local story. One of my relatives worked in Hanford, and he died at a very, very young age, it's a very contaminated region. It's a very, very contaminated region, and if God forbid that tank were to burst or to explode, or if anybody were to assist in such a thing, God forbid, it would be a nuclear disaster for the United States. It would make Fukushima, it would make Chernobyl look small. And that's why Obama should be paying a great deal of attention to what's going on there in Hanford, and the leaking nuclear rubbish that may very well seep into the Columbia River and contaminate the region. This is a very serious problem.
I've heard of that, and what I heard was that it may be 20 years until it reaches the Columbia River or something, but still, it should be addressed now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they waiting for?
Yeah.
Well, they built these big million gallon tanks to hold the stuff, and the tanks were designed to last for between 20 and I think 50 years. That's the lifespan of the tanks, because they were supposed to have a solution, but this tank was filled I think in the 70s. These tanks were put in the ground in 1971, I think it was. So these have come to their expiration date, and as I said, the government does not have a very active solution to deal with this huge amount of very toxic waste. But this one particular tank that's leaking is not leaking for a random reason. It is the most toxic. It's the hottest stuff. It's the worst tank. They say if there's one tank that you don't want to leak, it's this one.
Oh, no.
And this is the one that's leaking, because it's extremely the stuff is very hot. It's like boiling. And it's extremely corrosive, so it ate through the first tank. So if it ate through the first tank, it's very likely to eat through the second tank as well. And so it's something that this should really be a red card. This should be a red card. This should be on the front page. But you see, they don't want the American people to know about their shortcomings, their failures, their inability, their incompetence. The first thing the governments do is want to hide their own incompetence. This is incompetence by the Department of Energy. This is incompetence by the U.S. government, that they have got this tank sitting out there simmering, ready to burst, and they're not doing anything about it. And they let it sit there for a year and haven't done anything about it. That's incompetence. So just like the Israelis, rather than pointing at their own incompetence, they say, oh, look at North Korea. Look at how silly that dictator's being over there. And look at those nasty Iranians. What are they planning to do? You see, point the finger elsewhere and increase the threat level. Try to. This is exactly what they did in Israel. They want the Israeli people to feel very insecure, so they always point at outside external threats, you know. And in Israel, the false flag terrorism was very common. You know, many of those bombs that went off, you know, in years past were done by the Mossad themselves against the Israeli people in order to get them so afraid. You know, they've got the Israeli people worked up to the point where they're afraid to go outside of their own country because they think the world hates them.
Yeah.
And they're taught as children that there's no place you can live besides Israel because the whole world hates you.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even gone so far as to build this concrete wall, you know. It's like a fortress. It's absurd. It's insane. But
yeah.
They've practiced this terrorism. I thought we'd call it policy by terrorism. They've practiced that policy by terrorism in Israel first, and they studied it. And the people who studied it were Netanyahu and Ehud Barak, the same ones that are running the state of Israel today. And then they've brought it to America. They're trying to take their Israeli model and apply it to the American people. So when you say that, you know, they're treating us like Palestinians, they're treating us also like Israelis.
Mm-hmm. Are y'all familiar with Miko Peled? He is the author of The General's Son, and he grew up in Israel, and he talks about that same thing where I went to one of his presentations, and there's a slideshow, and he shows this big red sign with white letters like, warning, warning, you're about to go into the Palestinian part. And you know,
right.
He said exactly what you just said, that, you know, and then he finally met some Palestinians and, you know, got to know them and everything. And so now he's a big peace activist and, you know, kind of talking about the truth about Israel.
Yeah, well, you know, it didn't come easy for him because it was his niece or his nephew. His niece, I think, was killed
in
a bombing attack in a suicide bomber, I think, at the pizzeria or one of those places, and she was killed. And then, but the mother and the parents of this child, you know, realized that there are underlying problems that contributed to the death of their daughter. It's not just that the Palestinians are evil.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this political problem that isn't being addressed, and it's the same thing in America. You know, the United States should be making sitting down and coming to terms with the Iranian government, with the Islamic Republic of Iran, just like the new book Going to Tehran says. We should be it's in our best interest. It's in the interest of the United States of America to negotiate with the Iranians and to solve our problems. But to take this Israeli approach that we're, you know, if you don't do what we say, we're gonna invade you, we're gonna bomb you, we're gonna sanction you. You know what the United States is doing right now to North Korea and to Iran is war by other means. We are imposing economic sanctions through the United Nations on these countries that are so suffocating that it's bound to lead to war. And that's what happened in North Korea, is that in February of this year, new sanctions were applied to the state of North Korea, which have pushed that country to the brink of war, which is what led them to play this threat card, which is what they did. You know, they want attention. They want the sanctions lifted. They want negotiations with the United States of America. But the United States is playing this very evil game in which we don't want to negotiate. We're trying to impose basically the Israeli agenda, the Zionist agenda, in the Middle East and in the world, and it's not going to work. It hasn't worked for the last 10, 20 years. It's not going to work in the future either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great stuff. And one more time before we got to get out of here, give your website, please.
Sure, I'm happy to do so. My website is bolin.com. That's B as in boy, Ollyn, bolin.com. And my books are Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. So I thank you very much for your time, and it's been a pleasure being with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I I just read the book real quick and just finished it a little while ago and didn't get into much of that, but there's so much current events going on that, you know, we needed to cover a lot of that. And, man, thank you so much for your time, Christopher. Real pleasure having you on.
Great book.
Thanks. I just want to say that, you know, understanding what happened in 9/11 is essential to understanding where we are as a nation today. And, and if people don't understand, but the crime of 9/11 was not investigated and was not solved as a crime. We were given a story, and that story was promoted by the media, and that's where it ended. The evidence was destroyed. All questions and facts that did not agree with the official story were ignored. But we can't do that. That's not a healthy approach to life, and that's not no way to approach a crime of that magnitude. So I really suggest that people ask their library to get a copy of Solving 9/11, to read it, and to look at the evidence and see for themselves what really happened on 9/11, because that is the event that has taken us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't wake up after the Kennedy murder, and hopefully people are, I think they're a little more awake about 9/11, and hopefully they're even more awake about this Boston scam that's going on. So
anyway, so I think, thanks.
Yep, we're running right down here, so anyway.
I think they are.
Yeah, it seems we're much better than we have been. People are waking up. I hope it's fast enough. That's all. So,
well,
anyway.
The thing is, I really encourage people to turn off their TV, to really turn the TV out, and to pretty much do the same with the radio, and try to get their information in from sources that are less mind controlling than the television.
Mm-hmm.
Why
exactly.
Do you think they call it programming?
Yeah.
There you go.
The television.
Well, thanks again, Christopher, and hope to talk to you soon. Take care, and I highly suggest the book. It's a great book. Solving 9/11.
Thank you, Michael.
By Christopher Boland. Okay,
thank you,
Mary
Lou.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, and thank you, Mary Lou.
Thank you for having me. I had a wonderful time, Michael.
Oh, you were great. So, everybody, we got a couple minutes here. Anything you want to say? What's going on? You still doing radio or?
Taking a break right now.
Yep.
But it sure is fun.
Well, next week, Debbie and I think we got scheduled David Gay, who's a libertarian liberty candidate.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's running for city council in New York somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a couple other surprises for you folks. So make sure you tune into that. Anything you want to add, Mary Lou? We got a minute.
had a wonderful time, and Christopher Boland was a great guest, and it was just chock full of information and great website, great books, just a treasure trove of information. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and he goes where a lot of journalists don't want to go, and that's criticizing Israel. And
exactly.
And people need to wake up to what's going on with that whole scam.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think so, too.
Anyway, and I want to thank our one caller we had who asked a very pertinent question that we didn't get an answer to, but that's live radio, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So stay tuned for Liquid Butterfly, and tune in next week. Dave Gay will be on. And thanks again, Mary Lou. And Debbie, we miss you. Talk to you all later, folks.
Bye.
Take care. Have a great night.
Bye.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Approaching just like storm clouds down the line. But it started raining early and you're running out of time. And the devil's in your basement, he's climbing up the stairs. He's here, there, and everywhere. Well, there's horror in the headlines and it's getting worse each day. So if you want to hear some good news, get yourself to church and pray. Cause when the devil is your anchor man, he chooses what to share. He's here, there, and everywhere. Maybe the road is hidden. Maybe you stop looking too. Maybe you'll find you're not so colorblind. Maybe there's something left to do. As the politicians argue and the soldiers fight the war, you're barely keeping score. Cause the devil's in your television stirring up a scare. He's here, there, and everywhere. And your government is planning out your funeral today. And you're happy to lay down and let them send you on your way. Cause the devil's in your mirror, he's working on his stare. He's here, there, and everywhere. Well, they take away our rights, easy as turning off the lights. And then they tell us that there's nothing we can do. But I'm gonna tell my son the great dark battle can be won. When he says, Daddy, will you tell me something true? Like imaginary line, you'll be dancing in the death camps while the trains are keeping time. Cause the devil's in the White House in a big fat comfy chair. He's here, there, and everywhere. And oil, drugs, and warfare are the players in this game. And each of them are running from the finger pointing blame. But I know you'll blame the devil when you're running out of air. He's here, there, and everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere.
Hey, guys. It's April 25th, Thursday, 2013. And here we are, another day. Hello.
How y'all doing, folks?
There he is.
Yep, another day and another few cents a mile. Makes me feel like I'm rich.
Oh, yeah.
Beats the heck out of digging a ditch. Or playing like a little witch. Or ripping your pants and having to do a stitch. I know, I'm being silly. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Meanwhile. Back to the show.
Meanwhile, you want to hear what happened today? This is a great story. What happened today? I went up to finish my taxes and to pay for it, actually. And then I went to the store because I found this great store up in my town that's not too far from here, and they sell a whole bunch of organic food, including organic that grass-fed beef and chicken, and they had the whole, they had everything. And so I went, spent like $200. anyway, I had all this meat, but it was kind of a warm day up here, about 83 degrees. And so on the way back, I thought, well, you know, I just have my air conditioner on. It should be fine. Everything's cool. And then there's this traffic jam. And I was like, oh, no traffic jam. So I turned the air conditioner on as low as it could go and turned the fan on as high as it can go. And then I found out there was a great big army vehicle, a truck and trailer, stuck in the middle of the freeway. Some army guy sitting in it. Just hit up. And then right after that, there was an accident. So I was like, you know, in this long traffic line forever, worrying about my meat going bad. So finally get home, and I finally threw it in the freezer as fast as I could. But I think it might have been
it'll
okay.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It was
kind of beef, isn't so bad. Where you have to watch out is the pork, the poultry, and the fish. The chicken.
What about the chicken?
You know, it can go a few hours before you really have to worry about it. The main thing is, the problem is with commercial chicken, because they live in such filthy environments, they have to be fed drugs and all that. When you have organic, you know, free-range chicken, you know, the processing, you know, kind of exposes it, and you still need to wash it off before you cook it. But I have noticed that it doesn't go bad as quick. Same with the milk. You know, you get the raw milk, and it won't go bad as fast as the homogenized, pasteurized crap.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's cool. That's a good thing.
That's why they need drugs and everything on the commercial stuff, is because it's so filthy.
Yeah.
They have to use antibiotics and chemicals, because otherwise stuff goes bad real fast.
Yeah.
Then again, if you saw commercial milk before it was processed, you wouldn't touch the stuff anyway. Huh. You'd be going, ew, yuck. And now they're going to start putting fluoride in milk.
That's gross, too.
Like if aspartame wasn't bad enough, these people are trying to filter their water so we can't fluoridate them. We'll put it in their milk. We're not going to drink your stinking milk either, so there.
You know, it's kind of funny because this store right down the street from my house, it's kind of funny because they don't really tell you that they have organic food. You just kind of have to find it yourself or ask somebody. And
that's weird.
I asked them the other day. I said, do you guys have any, because I knew they got me the organic bacon, so I thought, okay, let me ask them if they have organic meat, you know, like beef and chicken and stuff, and they said yes, and they showed it to me. I was like, oh my God, I've been sitting there this whole time, and I just didn't see it. But, you know, I'm finding it everywhere now. It's like all around me. What is that?
Sorry about the noise. I probably should have muted my phone, but I'd have to back out of the internet. Once I go on the internet, my phone's dedicated. But I'm cooking.
Oh, you're cooking. Oh, okay. No, I thought you flushed the toilet.
No, I do not have a toilet in my truck, okay?
Anyway. That'd be nice.
Yeah, this is not an RV, okay? I mean, I have some modern conveniences, so to speak, but not that. There are some trucks that have sleepers that big. I've seen them, and they're really decked out. It's like of course, so they're expensive.
Nice.
It's like $120,000 just for the sleeper, not counting the truck.
Do they have to pay for it themselves?
Well, yeah, those are owner-operators.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not a free. Companies aren't going to supply that. It's all right. It's cool. But, yeah,
okay.
I parked, and it took a while for me to get everything shut down, and you know, make little scribbles in the logbook and all that kind of stuff, and then I put dinner on.
Okay, and, well, while you're cooking,
anyway,
while you're cooking, while you're cooking, I got something to read.
Well, go ahead and
you
read.
Might wanna,
yes.
Okay, you might want to listen to this.
I will.
I don't know how I find these things, but I found this. So I don't know if this story is. I don't know. I just found the story. You just tell me what you think afterwards, I guess. Okay, here we go. Okay, it's called Five Celtic Warriors Unearthed in France. Cool, huh? Okay, it's an Iron Age graveyard discovered in France is set to provide new insights into the life of the Celts. The burial site was found in a field between a motorway and the Seine River southeast of Paris. Archaeologists have uncovered a great many finds buried at the site, including the remains of five Celtic warriors and a treasure trove of weapons and adornments that will help to shed light on the enigmatic civilization of Gaul. Sorry about that. Buried next to the warriors are the remains of several women, each adorned with jewelry, twisted metal necklaces, and a large bronze brooches indicative of high status. The type of jewelry indicates the burial took place between 325 and 260 BC. It has laid bare a complex civilization that had a mastery of metal and trading system which spanned Europe and generated great wealth. A report on the find stated the graves were uncovered at a depth of about 6.5 feet, but if they had any external markers, none remain. That's the story.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. How could I not see that one, huh? My eyes went boing, boing, boing. And out of my head, they're dangling off my cheeks, you know. It was really hilarious. <hell, yeah>. Nobody's trying not laugh. Uh-huh. I got it.
Well, I have to. I just backed out of the chat room, so I don't know what they're doing. Eventually, once you get done, I have some stuff I have to get up out of my phone to.
Oh, okay.
Do later. So I couldn't stay in the chat room. I can't. It's just, unlike a computer, I can't run like several windows all at the same time. So I just kind of do a couple of things. But I wanted to make
Yeah, I'm lucky to get several windows at a time. Okay.
Well, now the computer I have, it's my home. It can. I mean, well, to a degree anyway. I can look at, if I make the windows smaller, I can run two windows at the same time on the computer. And then also I can run up to three monitors at the same time and run three different programs.
Wow. I don't know how to do all this, Jeff.
I don't either. I just know it can do it. That's all. I don't know how. A friend of mine is an IT tech. He's real smart on that stuff. He told me, "Yeah, man, you know your computer can do this, this, and this, and this." I said, "Really? That's cool. I'm glad you know about it. I sure in the heck don't." "Oh yeah, man, it's like really cool, man." And he starts going off, you know, and I'm like, "Yeah, really? Yeah, you're talking Greek to me as far as I'm concerned." "No, man, you don't understand." Yeah. I said, "Yes, you're right. I don't understand. You're right. And tell you the truth, I didn't get it to run three screens. I'm happy the way it is. And I have too much other stuff I have to deal with." And that was 2 years back, so, you know. And he's really good at heart. I mean, and I haven't seen him in a long time. But I taught him how to shoot a gun and what kind of gun to buy and stuff like that. And he taught me about computers a little bit and how not to screw up a computer. And things like that, because my first one I really screwed up. I crashed the hard drive in it. And he bought it. He's like, "Dude, this is a collector's item." He's like, "Okay, whatever, fine." So he bought my old computer, fixed it up. But we traded off. You know, I taught him things, and he taught me about computers. And considering he charges like $150 an hour, that was a fair trade.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, IT people, you know, like him, they aren't cheap. I mean, the guy writes programs and stuff. Okay?
He's one of these people
that can sleep on a book and put the book under his pillow and he'll wake up in the morning and know it. And I'm like, dude, you know, you suck, okay? You make me sick. You know, I have to sit down and read books like for hours on end before I finally figure out what the heck it's saying. I mean, this guy, he looks at a page and says, oh, okay, I have it. Yeah, right. And he'll sit down and do it.
Pretty weird. I know. Some people are just born, you know, with talents, different talents, and that's kind of a talent.
I had a lawyer like that once. A lawyer I used one time, a really good lawyer. Actually, I know of another one that's just like this, too. But anyway, the guy could look at a page, and it was literally photographic memory.
Jeez. That's nice.
And he had, 20 years later, he'd be able to tell you what was on that page. That's how some of those guys get through law school. They have photographic memories.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of that lately. I mean, I don't know where these people come from or where they're coming from, but there seems to be an awful lot of them. I know. I'm like, feel like I'm left behind in a dust storm here. You know, they're all spinning around like Tasmanian devils is blowing around me. What are they saying? And how? I mean, they talk fast. They know so much. And I'm like, okay, must be nice.
Oh, I know the feeling. You know.
And they're like,
When I went to college, my professor would just start rattling off all this stuff. And I'm like, Dr. Reed, he was, you know, a PhD in geology and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it's like, you know, can we slow down a little bit? Don't have time. We have to do so much in this class. And you start talking about rock strike and all this other stuff, you know, and mineral makeups. Dude, slow down. Or I'm going to have to record this class. Good idea. Bring a recorder tomorrow. Plan on it, okay?
That helps.
Because I'm going to have to go back and listen to it about 30 times just to get what you said, all right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's what I did. You know, when I went to college, people go, dude, how'd you pass that class, man? I had so many problems. I took a tape recorder to class and recorded the class. Went home and took notes off of the tape recorder. Oh, I'll do that next semester because this semester I suck. And, well, you know, should have done it. Oh, well. Yeah, if it wasn't for a good old-fashioned cassette tape recorder back in the day, I'll tell you what, I'd have been screwed and tattooed.
Those are nice. Yeah, they really are great. You don't miss a lick then. That's how I was learning physics on the
computer.
People
used to make fun of me. Yeah, people make fun of me. Oh, look at him. He's going to sit up in the class, in front of the class and record the teacher. He's a groupie. I'm like, no. I want to get it off by learn and pass the test, you dillweed. I was going to say something else, but I refrained. But, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I mean that's why I like learning stuff on the internet, because if you find a good enough, you know, course or teachers, because you can sit there and rewind it as many times as you want, or you can just rewind it and write it all down. And I've read it word for word. Yeah, that's awesome. It's better than having a live teacher, because you can't rewind him too many times. He might get angry. Anyway.
Would you like a buffalo steak?
No, but I'm going to read something about grapes.
Oh, cool. Grapes are good. Is it
buffalo
grapes of wrath, or is it grapes of wrath, or is it grapes of happiness?
Grapes of, you'll
health.
See. Okay. Yeah. Okay. New research. Let me put my mic a little closer here. Okay. New research. Eat grapes to reduce body-wide inflammation and organ damage. Okay. And they're showing green grapes and red grapes, so we'll see what they say. Research just presented at the Experimental Biology Conference held in Boston this week reveals that the grapes contain powerful health-promoting properties, specifically natural components known as polyphenols appear to protect against organ damage associated with the progression of metabolic syndrome, a group of conditions that occurs together and includes high blood pressure, abdominal fat, and elevated cholesterol levels. The study, headed by scientist E. Mitchell Seymour, PhD, of the University of Michigan Health System, looked at the effects of high fat, American style diet, both with and without grapes, on the heart, liver, kidneys, and fat tissue in obesity-prone rats. That's interesting. The rats again. Okay. The grapes used were... I know. The grapes used
were...
Okay. The grapes used were a blend of red, green, and black varieties, freeze-dried into a grape powder, and mixed into the animal's diets for 3 months. Grape powder, huh? Okay. The results, just after 3 months of a grape-enriched diet, inflammatory markers throughout the animal's bodies were dramatically reduced, most significantly in the liver and in abdominal fat tissue. What's more, there are also reductions in liver, kidney, and abdominal fat weight compared with those consuming the control with diet with no grapes. The grape diet increased markers of antioxidant defense, particularly in the liver and kidneys as well. Grapes help.
Can I interject here a second?
Okay.
The reason why they did this study was because people in France have terrible diets, and yet, or at least by modern society, but yet drink a lot of wine and don't have the problems that Americans have with heart problems and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to interject and put that little thing in there.
This is fine. Just make my ribs stop hurting, will you?
Well,
every time I drive
my
car, my rib hurts after I get home. My ribs hurt.
You're sitting wrong.
No, I drive like a maniac. That's why.
Oh, well, slow down. Stop driving like a maniac, miss. I want to get a ticket and pay the government money.
I turn corners too hard. That's the problem. My groceries go from one end of the car to the other end of the car. But anyways, that's my time digressing. Okay, grapes help fight inflammation and oxidative stress. Our study suggests that a grape-enriched diet may play a critical role in protecting against metabolic syndrome and the toll it takes on the body and its organs. Dr. Seymour said in a media statement, both inflammation and oxidative stress play a role in cardiovascular disease progression and organ dysfunction in type 2 diabetes. Grape intake impacted both these components in several tissues, which is a very promising finding. The new study builds on earlier results of Dr. Seymour's published research, which found that a grape-rich diet reduced risk factors for heart disease and diabetes in obesity-prone rats. Research by University of Michigan scientists on grapes, previously reported in Natural News, also found eating grapes could dramatically reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease by lowering blood pressure, helping heal signs of heart muscle damage, and improve heart function. Published in the Journal of Gerontology Biological Sciences, the study concluded the high level of naturally occurring antioxidants present in grapes, reducing potentially harmful cell damaging free radical activity in the body. A groundbreaking pilot study led by Robert Krikorian, PhD of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, has found that drinking grape juice appears to starve off memory decline in older adults as well. And that starves Dave. Whatever Dave means. Anyway, that's the end of that. Are you still there, Larry? Something sounds funny here.
Yeah, I'm here. I had it on mute because I didn't want to interrupt you and make a lot of noise.
It had a little tone beeping sound.
Really? So, it shouldn't have done that if I put it on mute. That's strange.
Maybe it was just on my end, but I heard this little whistle thing going. I don't know. I could tell you were off air. Yeah, I could tell you were off air, but just because it's like
that. Well, my sister's
machine in the hospital when somebody, like when somebody dies in the hospital and the machine goes.
Oh, cardiac arrest.
Beep.
Flatline.
Oh, yeah. That's a loud one.
Doctor?
Something like that.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Calling Dr. Larry. We have a problem, doctor. Patients died. That's a problem. Well,
we have a caller.
Yes, doctor, they're dead.
We have a caller.
As long as they pay their bills, there's no problem.
Can you hear me? No.
Wait a minute. 347, that's a Freedomizer phone number, 347, area code.
Yeah, maybe it's proof.
Well, no,
it
could be. It could be Blake. I bulldog dare him to come on the show today. I was like, come on, I dare you. I double dog dare you. And people just can't not take a double dog dare. But if you're done, I mean, if you don't have any more to do, I mean, I was going to take the time to eat while you were doing your news and stuff. I wasn't really ready to. No, Nessie, you're not getting any more of my steak. Come up on the bed.
Yeah, we can answer these phone calls and then after, but we're going to have to do commercials pretty soon. So we'll answer you guys and then for a few minutes here and then commercials, okay?
I'm going to eat, but yeah, go ahead and take the call and we'll see who it is.
Okay, here we go. I got two of them. 347, you're on the air. Hello, 347. I hear something.
Going once, going twice. Hello?
Not there. Okay, it's a fake one. Okay, we got a 310. 310 sounds like a Blake. Let's see. Hello. 310, you're on the air.
Hey, it's good to be here. What are you eating, Larry?
It's Blake.
It's Blake? Hi, Blake.
No. I'm the other component of the dynamic duo that occasionally graces Eccentric Perspective.
Yeah, you're Brian. Hi, Brian.
I am Brian.
I'm Brian.
Yeah. How are you guys living tonight? How are things?
Either that or Rabin. It depends on how you spell his name. I still think he could be a Mossad agent, you know, and it just changed his name letters a little bit around. They do that,
Some people call me Brain, so you can call me Brain or Brian or Mossad or Nabrib or whatever you call me. It's all good.
Well, I have to tell her. I think Renee already knows. She's heard the show before where I give you a little ribbon about it stuff sometime. But
oh, yeah, you said
you know
said,
Renee.
Yeah,
I joke with him about it.
Yeah. No, I was saying, yeah, she's heard that show. You mean every time you talk to me? Every show?
Renee pretty much listens a lot when I go on and talk to you and Blake. I'm not sure how many times, but
well, I'll tell you what I've noticed.
Most
I've noticed
time.
you and Blake having some lovers' quarrels lately, man. You guys are cracking me up.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, man. My problem is I get really passionate about trying to get people woke up.
Right.
And realizing exactly what time it is and not being distracted. It's like Muhammad Ali had this thing where he'd take his left hand and hold it out in front of you and you pay attention to it and he'd hit you with his right. Okay? And I'm trying to get people to not get sucker punched. And sometimes I get frustrated when people don't wake up and see what's going on in front of them. Okay.
Now, I've watched a television show. It was the Glenn Beck program. And, you know, during Obamacare and the economy imploding and all of the problems that were going on, you know, one of the things was, you know, trying to wake people up and his frustration. And he finally changed and said, you know what? At this point, whoever's awake is awake. There's only so much we can do, and now it's time to just get going. We can't waste any more energy trying to wake more people up. And they'll find us, you know, one by one. They'll find us.
Well,
it's just time to get active at this point.
Yeah. It is time to get active, but don't stop educating people, but stop educating people that don't want to be educated. People that refuse to listen, you just have to wipe the dust of their house off your feet and move along and go to the next person that might be willing.
And there are a lot of those people.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people at Texas Preparedness Group that think that Alex Jones is a tinfoil hat wearing nut job and all this conspiracy theory stuff. And I've tried to point out to him, I said, dude, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. There are people in this world that want to have absolute, total world domination and then see you die. And if you don't go and read their writings, then it's your own fault that you don't know. And then they turn around and say, oh, you're a tinfoil hat wearer. I'm like, all right, fine. Have a nice day. And they're stuck in this left-right paradigm. I'm Republican. And they're like, I'm sorry. You have my sympathies. Okay? As to your question, what I'm eating? Well, when I was at Whole Foods, I bought some buffalo steaks.
Buffalo.
And so I cooked Nessie and I some buffalo steaks, carrots, celery, a mixture of potatoes. It's like blue, no, they're not russet. What are those? Russian fingerlings. And so
702, you're on the air too, by the way.
Yeah, hello, Larry.
Who?
What's going on? Brian, we're still on the live mic.
Good morning, Blake.
Good morning.
Hey, Blake.
Hello.
Hi, Blake.
What's the matter with you? No, you're not.
I
this is an
eccentric perspective.
Enough.
You've been phone bombed by eccentric perspective. I think that's
Yay.
What
you're
right.
There you go. Yep. Blake, it's your turn. Give it to Larry. Suck it to him. Go ahead.
What the hell is this?
I'm trying to instigate stuff, guys.
No, Renee's being a troublemaker. Yeah.
Suck it to him. Suck it to him. Suck it to him.
All right, so what's going on? What are the hot topics tonight? What am I missing?
Nothing yet.
I don't know what the hot topic is. We won't know until after Larry's dinner.
No, that part of it's fine. No, I can...
Wait, Blake, let me ask you something, Blake. Did you just say hot topic
too.
Or hot pocket? Hot topic or hot pocket? Because
no,
Larry's talking
not,
dinner.
Hot pockets. No,
oh, okay.
Definitely
just making
no.
sure.
All right.
Topic.
Uh-huh. I've never actually even used my microwave.
Hey, Blake, do you have a smartphone?
Yes.
Is it Android?
No, I'm calling on my iPhone 5, whatever, device.
Well, all right. Well, it's an iPhone. Okay.
Right.
That's cool, too, though. There are apps, and I found them a while back. About a week ago. Okay?
Right.
On the phone. And I didn't even know they existed until about a week ago. And they're apps for the founding fathers. They're quotes. Like John Adams, Samuel Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Hamilton, Henry, Jefferson,
really?
Madison.
Nice.
So instead of having a carry... So instead of having to carry around piles of books with me, now it doesn't give everything that they wrote, but it gives some things, which I thought was really cool. Now, if I want to have like a full Patrick Henry speech, and he's done more than just the one, give me liberty or give me death, then I have to go back to Gutenberg Press and download their stuff. which is in, I think, a JPEG file.
Well, Larry,
PDF file.
Larry, if you've downloaded this app, then Miss Janet Napolitano and the NSA and the CIA and all of these places have probably labeled you as potentially a terrorist because of the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. These are antiquated, and you might be potentially dangerous. That's my understanding. So you've just marked
yourself. Yeah, I figured.
Did you get
it
from the George Bush Library?
No,
from the George Bush Library.
Because they might rewrite the history. So
Blake, unlike you, I have never belonged to a political faction. I was never into the left-right paradigm because, as a child, I was taught that it was all
a joke. They opened the George Bush Library today, and
they
were kind of joking that they could be rewriting history because.
Where did they open it down in Texas?
It was a Clinton joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be in Texas. I forget exactly, but I'll tell you what. I mean, Obama got a peace prize while he's bombing Syria and droning all over the place. We got stuff going on in Libya, all these undeclared wars, and Bush gets a library, and I don't know that he can read.
I spent the first 20 minutes of our show talking about Syria. I've never It's funny because they always like make fun of the conspiracy theorists for fear-mongering. You got to see the 20-minute rant on Syria they just opened up the Maddow show with. Yeah, they're pushing something big again. I don't know where they're even digging the story up.
I can't stand Mr. Maddow. I really never have liked that whack job. But anyway.
I think Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow are twins. And they're both on the same network. I think they're from the same zygote at one point. It might have divided. And
they,
one went
no,
one
well,
direction
they,
and another the other.
No, they were separated.
Like twins
at birth.
With Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, like that.
No, they were joined at the hip.
The same, but.
They were joined at the hip and then put them both up for adoption when they cut them apart.
Does that really explain why both of them are leaning left and leaning forward? Hence the MSNBC tag, is because they were cut and now they're just leaning forward.
Well, see, what they did was it was really a cruel thing in their birth, but they took part of one and gave it to the other so that one leaned where they took the part out and the other stood taller on that side. So they both wound up leaning to the left.
Yeah. I see. See, it all makes sense now. This is some really in-depth commentary. I like this. This is something you're just not going to get in the lame street. Did you see that one commercial? I forget what car company it is, but the one neighbor's like, hey, you got a new car? He's like, yeah, it's pretty sweet. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to get one. He goes, nah, sorry, all sold out. And the guy goes, no, see, right here in the paper, it says all month they're selling these. He goes, you come on now. You can't believe what the lame stream media is telling you. It's really funny. Have you guys seen it?
Wow, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
they
a car commercial, the
lamestream
media. Yeah, for a car.
Guaranteed.
You can't believe the lamestream media. It's hilarious.
I guarantee you, Obama administration will go after those people for that.
Yeah, well.
Those people that create those ads, that guy just got fired.
Oh, see, when you led, that guy just got fired. I didn't know where you were gonna how you're gonna wrap that up. I thought it was gonna be one of those shut the front door kind of comments.
No, I don't drop S bombs on the show. But anyway,
I'm like Blake that drops the S bomb all the time. It's his new slogan. We're making bumper stickers about it.
He's such a foul mouth little boy.
It was like 80% of the word. It wasn't the full. You know, in context.
I am not. Okay. See, when I was a child, if I said that word, I would eat a bar of Ivory soap. My father would not tolerate cussing. And in fact, my family always put it into my brain, when you feel the need to cuss like that.
Like you can hear Larry driving down the road in his truck. You haven't heard that.
No, I love Blake's comment earlier today. Blake said something on his show with Larry going back and forth in the chat room. What did you say, Blake? You said something like, oh, I'd hate for my language to offend a trucker. It was so funny.
Like, how to make truck drivers turn your show off. You just insulted every truck driver that might listen. Here I tell people to call in and listen to your show, and what do? You insult us. Not all of us out here are foul-mouthed.
No,
you...
we're not insulting the group.
But do you think that many like truck drivers with favorite casual that would turn the show off just because of just one word?
It could happen.
But yeah, you're right. It could happen.
Could be. Could happen. Maybe one.
But no, sir, no, not now. Granted, a lot of truck drivers do cuss, and that's why I don't even have a CB in my truck anymore. I just gave
no,
up.
No, Larry, you stop lying.
He forgot who he used to be.
Truck drivers don't swear.
So
yeah,
funny.
No. Well, no, I can't say that they don't because Blake, I accidentally dropped an F bomb on your show. So, in fact, I got Brian. That's the exact response I got from you that day too when I was in Philly. Remember that? I was like, "Where the F is 95?" I mean, they're like, they put up a sign on the interstate saying 95 this way. So I take the exit, and it dumps you out into a dead end T intersection. I'm like, "Smooth move. Where's the sign?" Oh. I see. You have to look a mile down the road for it. It's like way the heck down. And this little tiny sign, you can tell that it's 95 because of the blue, you know, interstate symbol. And I was just one of those things, really a bad way to be. I'm sorry. You know, I apologize to him. But I was like, oh, there it is down there.
Hey, you should do that to Blake right now since he's on here. Because you said, hey.
Renee.
No, I'm not letting that one go.
I don't know, Larry. I love getting on the 95 in Philly, like during right in the middle of rush hour. I always find those are some of the really the kindest, warmest people out there.
Oh,
is what I find.
So
trying to bring in a bigger vehicle. That's usually my regret is I don't have a bigger, slower vehicle to try to merge on there.
Go to L.A.
Right.
Try to do that on the 60 or on the 210 or the 10 or the 710.
The 710 or the 405, yeah.
405, yeah, you know.
Hey, you know what? We're talking about trucking. Let me share something with you real quick. I was listening to this song today, and I don't know if anyone has ever heard it before, but there's a rock and roll outfit known as Stained, and their lead singer is Aaron Lewis. He put out a country album. And I wanted to share just a couple of these lyrics with you real quick because I just heard it and I played it for a friend and they thought it was really cool. I just wanted to share one little part from it, if I may be so bold as to do so. Do I have your permission for that, Larry?
Yeah, go for it. I don't care.
Well, in the middle of the song, he's talking about Hank Williams. He says, "Because Hank taught me just how to stay alive. You'll never catch me out the house without my 9 or 45. I got a big orange tractor and a diesel truck. And my idea of heaven is chasing white-tailed bucks and a country boy, you know I can survive. Now two flags fly above my land that really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, and blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave because this is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my beliefs." And it's an awesome song. It's called Country Boy by Aaron Lewis, and I think you guys might want to check it out. I think it's super sweet, by the way.
Well, I like I'm on the Outside. It's a good song, but isn't he kind of, was it Scott Stapp or something? Or somebody, I forget exactly.
You're thinking Creed, but no, this is Stained and Aaron Lewis, and the song's Country Boy. Check it out. I think you guys might dig it. It's rare that you find many musicians. That are mainstream, that are rocking some pretty cool lyrics like that. So just want to share that with
y'all
and the listeners.
Is it at YouTube?
I listened to it on Pandora, and I've added it on YouTube on my channel. It's
I'm
a new social media.
I'm
check
putting
it, out,
it in
there. Actually, I like the lyric.
I'm putting it in the chat right now, okay?
Nice.
Well,
check it out. It's a good tune, man. It's a good tune.
Right on. Yeah, lyrics are pretty good. I have that Don't Tread on Me flag.
Yeah,
it's called the Gadsden flag.
Yeah, I gotta get me a Gadsden flag. I gotta get. It was on my Christmas list for one at one point.
So you realize if you fly it, you'll be labeled as a terrorist.
Really?
Right, because liberty is bad. Up is down, yeah. Left is right. Right.
Yes. Right. Good is bad. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Orwellian. Okay. It's Orwellian speak. You know, it's new speak. We're going to change the words. We can't say Muslim terrorist extremist. We have to coddle, you know, a tiny little group of people that are screwing things up for everyone else. We can't even mention what it is. We just have to dance around it. We have to call Fort Hood a workplace incident of violence while he's on a table yelling Allah Akbar and shooting people, which is crazy. So it's just, you know, changing the verbiage of our country.
Yeah, and on SSRI drugs. And also, don't forget the fact that they label the Constitution now as an obsolete document. And was it Lindsey Graham that made the erroneous statement? No. Who was that? Just a couple of days ago.
Well, Lindsey Graham's my favorite. I find it hard to believe he might say something I disagree with. That guy's just on the ball.
Dude, no, that's a woman in drag. You didn't know that, did you?
Jeez. wait, Blake. How would Lindsey Graham present some legislation? I know you do a good Lindsey Graham impersonation.
I don't even know what to say on that.
He does a good Southern Queen accent. A good Southern Queen
yeah,
accent. It's really funny.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
I gotta be in the moment.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Well, maybe we're
the Lindsey Graham quotes. Yeah, you don't get a lawyer. Yeah.
him and John McCain, they're a match.
Yeah, it's time to put these folks out to pasture. You know, let them go to the old folks' former politicians' retirement home with a super fat pension. These guys have got to go.
Well, I kind of had a different attitude towards that. Blake wouldn't agree, but I say stick them in prison, inject them with vaccines, and feed them GMO food.
And fluoridated water.
And fluoridated water, of course. Yes.
I say make them prisoners of their own reality show, like the Truman Show. That way you could have them on all the time.
Blake, that is their own reality. No constitutional rights.
Yeah.
No trial.
Yeah, they wouldn't
by
be allowed to leave,
but
they wouldn't have to. They wouldn't really have to, necessarily suffer any harsh treatment. They just have to be quarantined and isolated from.
Give them any harder treatment than they give the rest of us.
Hey, Renee, and Larry, I have a question for both of you. The Babylonian eye for an eye. No, my question to both of you is. As far as these two brothers, and one of them's alive, the other's dead, as we have been told, what is your take on getting Miranda rights versus being declared a war criminal or something else? Because the kid is a citizen of the country, and there's a faction that's trying to say, well, you're a citizen, but you know we're just going to avoid that. That's not convenient for us right now, so we're going to change the rules for this.
He's not a citizen. Yeah, he's not a citizen. He is a legal resident. I forget exactly his status. He's not like somebody coming to visit. They can't just
I could be wrong, but I thought that he became a full citizen on September 11th. What was it, last year or a couple years ago?
Last year.
Really?
That's my understanding. I could be corrected on that, but that was
the day was right. I don't know about the year.
I thought he was just.
That's the dead brother.
Legal.
That's the dead brother.
Okay, I thought he was a legal resident. But all right, well, all right. Now back to the question: whether or not he would be a citizen or just a legal resident, he still has a right. And Mr. Graham doesn't like the Constitution because it's inconvenient for his agenda.
Mr. Graham.
Or Mrs. Graham, whichever the case may be. But if he was put in jail, he'd be the first one crying, I have rights. Okay?
Yeah, he would be the biggest coward ever. I agree with that.
Yeah.
No,
so,
wait. What's cowardly about setting bombs off at the feet of 8-year-olds? There's nothing cowardly. Isn't that an act of valor? That's really cowardly to light off an explosive
kinda
to
like
kill an 8-year-old.
Kind of like dropping a Hellfire missile on an alleged terrorist.
Or bombing an asteroid factory.
Or killing an entire group of people just to get one person. You kill man, woman, and child. Or, let's see, putting fluoride in the water and slowly killing people. Or feeding them GMO and slowly killing them. Or putting chemtrails in the air and slowly killing man, woman, and child. Let's see.
Well, that was one of the concerns with the National Defense Authorization Act, otherwise known as the NDAA, is that it's essentially labeling the United States as a battlefield, and you could be labeled. The phrase I was looking for was enemy combatant.
Belligerent. They can round up a
belligerent
too.
Yeah, define
which
belligerent.
They never define. Yes, thank you. Well, in the definition
exactly.
of the Oxford Dictionary, belligerent means that you can be stubborn in a negative way. I mean, I'm paraphrasing right now because I don't have the dictionary in my hands, but also it's dark out here. Even if I did have it, I couldn't read it.
Are you doing the show by candlelight? Because we have a full moon.
Well, no, I'm walking. Actually, I'm in Houston and it's cloudy. And I'm walking next to you right now.
Wow.
Yeah,
so this is a mobile show. This is Larry on the street.
No. I'm in a room with a computer. Yeah.
Okay.
With
so
you're
recording.
In house.
He's
yeah,
recording
I'm
me
command.
Though. I'm
he
yeah, but
mobile.
I'm on my cell phone. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the man on the street. Literally, right now, I'm walking down the sidewalk while Nessie walks in the grass.
I keep telling him this is my show. He didn't believe me.
You're right. I don't believe you.
Well, this is the first time I've joined and participated, and it's a pleasure. I'm glad that you guys got a show because, you know, we're noticing it. I just referenced the National Defense Authorization Act, and Dan Johnson, a buddy of mine, I call him my little brother. He goes to Bowling Green, Ohio, the university over there where I graduated, and he now has a show. He runs a group called Panda, People Against NDAA, and now he joined the Freedom Eyes Radio Network.
Yeah,
I talked to him before, man.
And that's super cool. You know, you guys used to call the show and be in the chat rooms, and now you grabbed the program. And same with Dan. Dan has something to say, and he joined the network. So, I mean, I guess maybe every Freedomizer host could probably be labeled a belligerent because we're not consuming the teaspoons full of BS. Or what else does that stand for, Blake? I don't say that word on the air.
I will not say it on somebody else's show.
Just say, yeah, you don't. Yeah, yeah, you don't do that on the show. You can say Bravo Sierra. Yeah.
Bravo Sierra. So now that's what John B. Wells does all the time. But I think it's great. I've enjoyed joining over here on Blake's program and jumping onto yours. And I think the Freedomizer Network's pretty cool. I like it a lot. It's a good place for similarly minded people to chat.
Yeah, come over to the Liberty side of things, you know, and do your own show here.
I think I'm there, dude. I think I'm there.
You are? Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm saying is you ought to do a Freedomizer show, man.
Blake and I are working. We're going to actually launch another show. He's going to keep Eccentric Perspective. I'm going to keep Agree to Disagree in the Unhappy Hour at the New American Media. And there's a third show that we're going to be launching in, I don't know, Blake, a matter of weeks, a matter of months, a matter of...
I mean, it's still a work in progress, but yeah.
Yeah,
there'll be another show I can call in and give Blake a hard time.
Oh, my God.
We sure hope so. We are crossing our fingers for that.
Counting on it. We got you penciled in.
Oh, cool. Right on.
I just...
Anyway.
Just mute him.
Listen to you.
I would.
Yeah, well, that's you. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, what city is that Bush Library in? I didn't catch the city. That's in Texas, right?
I didn't either. His ranch is in Crawford.
Probably
well,
in
outside
Texas.
Of Crawford. He said city, not state, Renee. But anyway.
No, I know, but Bush lives in Texas. So I don't know.
No, he really doesn't. You know, it's not, you know, his actual residence isn't here. He lives, well, he has several homes, but his real home is down in South America somewhere. Was it Paraguay or something like that?
Isn't it? They have hundreds of thousands of acres or something like that? Tens of thousands of acres?
It's over 100,000 acres, dude. It's like 150,000 acres or something.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, when it comes down to it, though, I mean, we're all global citizens, right? I mean, it takes a village to raise a child, says Melissa Harris-Perry.
Yeah.
Your kids don't belong to you. So, I mean, where does anyone really live other than planet Earth, man? You know, planet Earth.
Do you realize how big 150,000 acres is? My gosh, man, Rhode Island is barely bigger than that.
Rhode Island. Where did the Gadsden flag come from? Where was that? Connecticut, Rhode Island?
No, it was
tiny little East Coast.
It was either Connecticut. Was it Connecticut or New Hampshire?
Maybe it was the Hampshire. Maybe.
I think it might have been New Hampshire. Don't tread on me. Yeah. But then the other one. I get them confused because I have several flags at the house. I have one that says join or die. And it had the snake broken up into 13 pieces. Henceforth, 13
Yeah, Ben
columns.
Franklin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think they labeled that as when Ben Franklin published that, I think they said that was the earliest American political cartoon ever put up.
Yeah. A friend of mine saw that, and he didn't know about all the different flags. And he was like, dude, are you saying if they don't join, you're going to kill them? I was like, no, you buffoon.
don't, colonial flag.
Don't
tell anybody. I don't own a flag. Don't tell anybody.
You don't own a flag?
No. Quiet.
Well, all you
I mean,
have to do
just
is stick
that
your
just divides us by race, religion, and nationality, man. It's
yeah,
not
I don't
a really liberal Renee. Banner.
Oh, Renee, hold your put your middle finger up, and there you have a flag. Okay?
Whoa.
It's kind of like a poster I used to have of an old grandma, I mean, real old grandma, sitting in a rocking chair flipping the bird, and the caption under it was, Express Thyself.
Well, now you have your own show, so you get to express thyself every time you take the air. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I try to do it to a degree.
I got to run commercials. You want to hold on?
Well, yeah, we do, though, before I forget, hold on a second, because I want to tell Blake this. Blake.
Well, we're running out of time. Hurry.
Well, but no, whatever. The commercial will be okay just because it's late a minute. Blake, check out, I forget where, and I don't know what phone company you use, but check out your apps and do a search for Founding Fathers quotations, okay? It's really a cool app. And I'm sure that Sprint's not the only one that has it. And
you know what?
Also,
we should get...
There's also the Constitution in its full scale, the Declaration and the Bill of Rights, the whole nine yards. You can get it in on app.
Larry, is that the King James version of the Constitution, or?
Yeah, basically. The one I have, it's in Old English. Or, well, not Old English in the true sense of the word, but Old Colonial
you're talking,
English.
You're talking 40-ounce malt liquor?
All right, Larry, let's check out those
alcoholics.
Apps for
I'll
easy
tell
reference.
Yeah,
I've
got
my
leave it to a bartender. the pocket constitution is okay for a quick reference. It's kind of like a cheat sheet when you went to college. What'd they call those? What the kids use those? Crib notes.
Oh, that's a good one for you, too. Yeah. I got to go with I don't have a lot. I have very few apps. One of them I found was a survival guide.
Yeah. And you get caught with that, you'll be labeled as a terrorist. You know?
Of course.
So you need to be careful. Don't get caught with that. That's contraband.
Right. Well, hey, Larry and Renee, let me let you go. I'll let you get back to your program. Thank you for taking my call and run those commercials.
Hey, thanks for calling in, you two. This is
our
first.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Brian and Blake actually call into the show finally after
Blake
so long.
Yay.
Well, we just happened to be awake at the same time and doing the same stuff. And, yeah, good times, man. Keep it up, and we'll be listening off air.
Cool beans, man.
Okay.
Thanks. All right.
All right, peace out.
See you guys. Later.
Thanks. Bye. Miss okay, today. Commercials
do you,
going.
Do you commercials.
Okay, mute yourself. Okay.
Yeah, I'll mute myself. All right.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have had a lesson now. The new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at shadethemotionpicture.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils. Botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Tell me.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes. Yes,
are
indeed.
Are you unmuted?
Welcome back.
Okay.
No, I'm not unmuted. You're just imagining that you hear me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm
yes,
going to mute myself.
It's all in your mind.
I'm going to mute myself. I'll be right back, so I'll take over the
You should have did that during the commercial. We were here. Everybody heard you.
I can't. No, I muted myself. That
no, we
me.
Heard you. Yeah,
no,
well,
that
it was
somebody
you.
Else, and I somebody else, and I muted them. I don't know who that was.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, what it was. It is what it is.
I see. All right. So it was all our imagination. We really didn't hear anything.
I did hear somebody, but I muted him. That was the only person that was on there. It was at 347. I don't know who it was.
Oh, well, actually, Renee, look at the phone number. That's a Freedomizer
yeah.
number, and that was actually yourself calling in.
No, I got a host number.
I know that. Yes, I know. You're missing
okay.
the point, but that's okay. That's all right.
Anyway, take over the show. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Your
okay.
turn. Bye.
Have fun. Adios. Okay. And as far as what we were talking about earlier with Blake, what I was telling him about were the little phone apps that you can get, and they have a founder's quotation list. And it takes some of the more important quotes that our founders did. For example, with Samuel Adams, a quote that he did in 1776 was really awesome. And I'll do it in his words. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude, than the animated contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Okay? I always had a strong liking towards Samuel Adams, and he wasn't a deist. Contrary to what some people say, he was actually a Christian. Problem is, people fail to read his writings, and so they believe what they're told. But he contributed greatly to our Constitution, and in no way was he a deist. Protested against him being called a deist. So, read their quotations, and you'll see that. Same goes for Patrick Henry. He was not a deist either. In fact, he talked about that very subject and rebuked people calling him a deist. In fact, I have that quote somewhere.
Here he is. You've got much time.
Excuse you? What?
Hurry, hurry. Time's gone. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
Okay. Amongst this is Patrick Henry. And they're not sure of what day or what year he wrote this, but it is his writing. Amongst other strange things said of me, I hear it is said by the deist that I am one of the number. and indeed that some good people think I am no Christian. This thought gives me much more pain than the appellation of Tory, because I think religion of infinitely higher importance than politics, and I find much cause to reproach myself that I have lived so long and have given no decided and public proofs of my being a Christian. But indeed, my dear child, this is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. Now for you whack jobs out there that don't read history and want to keep calling the founders deists, go get educated and go read what the founders wrote, because you'll find that you're wrong. Get off of that left-leaning obstacle that you've put in front of yourself and go read instead of relying upon what people tell you, because you've been lied to. You've been led to believe you believe in a constitution when you are actually quoting a communist manifesto writing. Our founders weren't communists. They didn't believe in separation of church and state. They believed in Christian morals should run the state, because they all were in unity in believing that a nation without Christian morals would not stand, but yet fall. That you will find truth if you go read their writings. And even all of all people, Benjamin Franklin, who was a deist, but yet at the same time believed in Yeshua, or what some people call Christ Jesus, even believed and agreed with the rest of his fellow brethren that this country had, in order to survive, had to have Christian morals, or it would not stand as a moral sovereign nation that respected all people's God-given, unalienable liberties. Those, while being paraphrased, are of his own writings. But I'm not going to spoon feed you and hold your hand and tell you verbatim everything he said. That is up to you. To have the inquisitiveness, the curiosity to go and search out these fine men's writings, these great men who should be your heroes, not some stupid football player or baseball or basketball player or NASCAR or race car driver who has done nothing except suck millions off of people for doing something of his athletic prowess. Did not risk life and limb for his country. These men that we call the founders stood up against the world's finest military the world had seen, risked their families and their own lives, were threatened, jailed, imprisoned, tortured, beaten, shot. And some survive. So you think about that. What did they die for? For a brief moment in history? To show the world it could at least be done temporarily for a brief moment? Or to give their descendants something to strive for, to fight for, to believe in, to stand for? Benjamin Franklin said that we all hang together or we're going to hang separate. When he said that, when he said hang together, he meant as in stand together. It was the vernacular of its day. I hear a lot of people and see a lot of people talk a lot of bravado and a lot of bravery, and then make false quotes without ever actually reading the original founders' documents. They watch a YouTube video, and all of a sudden, they become an expert. Well, the other day, I found these quotes, and it comes in handy because times are that it's difficult for me at times to remember everything I've ever studied. I knew it was there. But finding it brought it to light how much I'd forgotten. Because it's been years since I've studied these founders, these great men. Do you teach your children about our founders? I mean, really teach them. Have them sit down and read the great works that they wrote. Their memoirs. Their letters to each other. Federalist Papers, where Hamilton, as much of a Federalist as he was, talked against a central bank and cautioned to run a national bank very carefully, lest it be a tyrant to the people it's supposed to represent and take care of with the monetary duties. We are supposed to be a nation of we the people, not ruled by a bunch of snot-nosed politicians. They're supposed to be our servants. They're like a wild animal that has gotten out of hand and escaped its cage at a zoo. And now that beast is ravaging upon we, the American people, at will, whenever it feels like it. And no one has taken this beast and put it back in its cage because, like the old saying goes, once you let the cat out of the bag, it's really hard to put it back in. Mm-hmm. We're not going to beat them through military force because they own the military. Does that mean to be a coward and lay down your belly and give up? No, by no means. Because I, for one, would rather die standing on my feet fighting, no matter how afraid I may be, than to die slowly living on my belly as their slave. If they put me on their so-called terrorist list, so be it. I will be in good company. People like Andrew Napolitano and others, soldiers that thought they served their country, find out that they serve corporations' interests instead, and many others that speak out against their tyranny are put on that list. Brave men. Am I worthy to be on that list? I don't think so. There are people that have done greater than me. But you can at least be a thorn in their side, a painful one, and slow them down. You go to your neighbors. If they don't listen, you go to the next house. If they don't listen, you go to the next house. You do not give up. You be persistent. Because it's not some fleeting moment that you're trying to have an enjoyment out of. You're doing this for your children and hopefully your grandchildren, if we live to see the day and they live or are born. We owe it to them. This government serves a power that is not of we the people. And they have placed a yoke on our backs that we do not deserve. They have placed a debt on us that we do not deserve, and it is not ours. They try and do put chains of slavery upon us and look at us like we're animals. I, for one, do not believe that I am an animal. I'm a man made in the image and likeness of God, the Most High God, the Holy Father in heaven. No man except my biological father has made me. I am not a creation of the state or the government. I'm a creation of God and of my biological parents. And you, out there listening, are the same. No government created you in a test tube, unless you're some kind of weird clone. You don't owe this government anything. You owe your country a duty and a responsibility to uphold, fight for the Constitution. Protect your fellow brothers that cannot protect themselves. To train people and to teach and educate people that have not been taught, trained, or educated. If you read what the founders wrote, they said we all have a duty. Not just a right, not a privilege, a duty. We have lost this country. This government and the powers that be kill us at will. Spray the air that we breathe with poisonous chemicals. And Congress does nothing to stop. Take back your neighborhoods. Take back your city council. You don't ask. You demand that they be servants, not rulers. It's not constitutional to have a ruler. It's constitutional to have a servant. Through treachery, deceit, and force, they have put bondage upon us. Slavery, if you will. Sold us out. Not to just the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are fronts for other powers. The Rothschilds were never kings. They were servants of kings. Elite families, if you will. Same goes for J.P. Morgan, Rockefellers, and the other robber barons, Carnegie. They were frontmen. They were promised prestige, power, and wealth beyond a man's wildest dreams. But in order to attain that, they had to do evil and disguise it with these Christian-looking, generous giving of their wealth. Philanthropic is what they call it. It's a hoax. Because what does philanthropy give us? Schools that preach communism and undermine the Constitution, undermine Christian morals, promote abortion and eugenics. That's a philanthropic endeavor. It's a disguise for sabotage of a once great nation. As far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, they should have been hung after a fair trial, of course. But not by a jury of their peers, but by a jury of we the people. Because their peers would have been other robber barons, and a thief is not going to find a thief guilty. Charles Manson would not find Charles Manson guilty. They deserved to be hung. Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, all of them, they're dead. More than likely, they're in hell, waiting for their final judgment. A theory I have, going by what Yeshua tells us in the Bible, probably so, because they're Luciferians. You don't get to heaven by worshiping the devil, being a murderous, scheming, evil person.
take back your towns. To do so, you're going to have to take back your neighborhoods one block at a time. The people that don't listen, you wipe the dust of their house off your feet and move on to the next. But you don't stop. When George Washington and his soldiers were marching, they didn't stop. It was wintertime. It was cold. And those men wanted to stop. Physically, they were exhausted, starving, their shoes worn out. They had to wrap their feet in rags and walk through the snow and drag cannons. They ate their horses. They ate dogs because they had no other food. We live a life of luxury. We've gotten spoiled. People think I'm roughing it when I am in my truck and I have a hot plate in the refrigerator in my sleep. That's not roughing it. Compared to what those men had that risked their life to battle the British and the Hessians, they had worse than nothing. They died of pneumonia, died of blood poisoning from frostbite. Their feet literally froze. They gave their lives for a belief, an ideal that we take for granted. Do you want your children and your grandchildren to live in slavery? I say this.
You okay?
What? I'm fine. I say this because of several things. One, the Boston atrocity. That was a false flag. Come on, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's kidding who here? Those two dweebs from the Chechen area, they didn't do that.
Somebody said some woman did it.
Mossad or who knows. CIA, they're all so mixed up now, it doesn't really matter what agency did it. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But along with what caused me to say this, every time I go into a truck stop or I go into Walmart to get water, because I don't exactly have a tap with water in my truck, I have to carry bottled water with me. I see posters of missing children. And I know that some of them are truly runaways, but then the others have been kidnapped. And out of that percentage, some of them have been kidnapped, probably most of them, kidnapped by factions of this government that sell the children in white slavery in other nations and here too. And people ignore it and don't want to know the truth that DynCorp runs CPS in most states. That they have places like in Nebraska, like Franklin Cover-Up, or Boys Town in Texas. They say, oh, that didn't happen. No, it couldn't ever happen here. It did happen here. And the government, the federal government, sanctioned it. The sicko Barney Frank ran a pedophile whorehouse out of his basement for boys
and men, who I can't really call men, because to do that with a little boy, you ain't old man, in my opinion. And people turn a blind eye to it, say, well, it's a lesser of two evils. No. No evil. None of the above. That's the problem with this country now. That's why we're in the situation we're in. Well, it's a lesser of two evils. Screw that. Not a lesser of two evils, not a lesser of three evils, not a lesser of four evils. You might as well go put a steel collar around your neck with a chain and go hand it to him and say, okay, I'll be your slave. I surrender. And go lay on your belly. But I don't call you my countryman if that's what you wish to do. And apathy, by the way, is the same as treason. Because by doing nothing, you allow the evil to do their work and succeed. Every time I go to a truck stop, I try to tell people stuff and wake them up. More times than not, I get looked at and ridiculed like I'm a tinfoil hat wearer or a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going to stop. And you shouldn't either. Do you get tired of being ridiculed?
Yeah.
Blow it off. You get used to it. Is it fun? No. Do you get insulted at first? Yeah, sure. You get over it after a while, and you, in turn, start feeling sorry for the people that ridiculed you because they're no more than village idiots. They're dumbed down, worse than sheep. At least a sheep gets scared when a wolf comes into the flock to kill it. These people don't even know that they're about to die. They don't know that the wolf is amidst them, killing them. So I can't even call them sheeple. They're stupid. I've seen sheep get scared of a danger. These people believe what programming is on the TV. Good name for it, program. Programs your mind to think the way they want you to think. Stop watching it. There's a reason why people high up in the State Department don't watch TV. They walk into a room and it's on, they turn and do an about face and leave. Why is that? Because they know. And they aren't supposed to have their brain programmed. That's why it went digital. So it more effectively brainwashes you, attacks your subconscious mind. This is fact. This isn't something I just made up yesterday. They did studies on it long time ago when they figured out what digital programming does. You people need to wake up. I hear all sorts of bravado and everybody talks a great talk. Stop just talking the talk and walk the walk. And you're not going to do it by matching them gun for gun. And I know, you know, people hear me talk about guns. You're darn right. Because if it comes down to it, I'm not going to no stupid FEMA camp. I'll hold court where I stand. They want to find me guilty and execute me, they're going to do it there. But until then,
I'll do my best to educate as many people as I can and wake them up. I have a hard time sometimes because I come on a little bit too strong and tend to tell people more than what they can really handle. I'm not a very good teacher of adults that are at a preschool level. I'm good with teaching little children, but for some reason I have a disconnect in my mind where it's hard for me to teach an adult that should be as intelligent and mature as an adult. I should not have to deal with an adult on a preschool level. And so, yes, I get frustrated. I get ticked off. Why, I don't know sometimes. Because I can take a child and be as patient can be. I guess I have high expectations out of others. By the time you're 25, I expect you to act like a man. Hell, during the Revolutionary War, 16-year-olds grabbed the rifle, stood and fought. I see more bravery out of 16-year-olds of the colonial times than I do 30-year-olds now. I'm trying to start a small sanctuary. Do I find people that want to help? No, it's too hard of work. They're going to wish they'd have took up that offer. You people living in the city, you don't get out. And stuff hits the fan. You're not going to get out. And it will, because it's in their plans to destroy this country. Exactly what? Don't know. They don't exactly call me up on the phone and go, hey, Larry, how you doing? Hey, we just thought we'd let you know what we're going to do. But I've read their books. I've studied them. They're sick. I studied them back in the 70s when I went to high school in 73 and 72. Stumbled upon it by accident, looking up what the heck technocracy was. And it led me down a really weird spider web, not a rabbit hole. Spider web. Spider web of a black widow. Started reading the Rockefellers, their stupid crap. Sanger, Carnegie, Morgan. The robber barons. And even before that, 1798, we were infiltrated. 1798. And we know this by reading what Thomas Jefferson, Adams, and the rest of them wrote, because they were dealing with these people. They didn't kick all the Tories out of this country. There were people, and still are people, hell-bent on giving back to England and the powers that be, the colonies, and despise the Constitution. I don't really know what to tell you, other than what I've said. We're in trouble. Serious trouble. If we take back our towns, and take back our counties, we have a chance, just a chance. We might actually have a good balance in a state. Not many. Maybe only one, maybe a few. To where we can actually nullify a good deal of what this insidious federal government does to us, we the people. Didn't really plan on getting up on a soapbox and making a speech. I had thought about talking about farming and things like that, because I have some really cool articles about heirloom tomatoes, potatoes, and all that other stuff. But without a land to live on, that knowledge has no value. Useless. Without a land to live on, our children have nothing. The only thing they'll have is a chain around their neck. Is that what you want? I hope not. It's not what I want. It's not what my ancestors wanted. They risked their lives during the Revolutionary War. They fought in the French and Indian War. Served the British Crown and got screwed. Said no more. The Brits back then did to the soldiers that fought the French and Indian War the same as this government's doing now to our people that go and serve them. Treat them like scum, trash, like criminals. I can't go fight against an F-15 coming down on me at 40,000 feet, dropping a Hellfire missile. I'm cooked. But you know what? I don't care. The worst they can do is kill this body. But they can't kill the message or the ideal of freedom and liberty and truth. They want to guillotine me. They better bring a lot of people to come take me away. And as we the people, you all have a duty to have that same attitude. Shame on you if you don't. And anyone that doesn't take a stand and pick up the proverbial sword, I cannot call you a brother in this country. I cannot call you a friend. I can't even call you a fellow American. If you're too afraid to stand up and give your children a chance,
and you don't have a spine or the courage, may God have mercy on your cowardice soul. That's all I know to say. But there's no excuse. You either fight for what you believe in, or you go turn yourselves in. Me? That's for me. I make my stand. And I hope that you all do the same. Even if you're not a Christian, you have the free will to be that way. And think about what you lead your children to inherit, just in the physical world. Living in bondage is a slow death of misery, torment. Here's something John Adams wrote. Thoughts on Government, 1776. Constitution founded on these principles introduces knowledge among the people and inspires them with a conscious dignity, becoming free men. A general emulation takes place which causes good humor, sociability, good manners, and good morals to be general. That elevation of sentiment inspired by such a government makes the common people brave and enterprising. That ambition which is inspired by it makes them sober, industrious, and frugal. As good government is an empire of laws, how shall your laws be made? In a large society, inhabiting an extensive country, it is impossible that the whole should assemble to make laws. The first necessary step, then, is to depute power from the many to a few of the most wise and good. Think about that. Something else you wrote. Thoughts on government. Each individual of the society has a right to be protected by it in the enjoyment of his life, liberty, and property, according to standing laws. He is obliged, consequently, to contribute his share to the expense of this protection, and to give his personal service or an equivalent when necessary. But no part of the property of any individual can, with justice, be taken from him or applied to public uses without his own consent or that of a representative body of the people. in fine, the people of this commonwealth are not controllable by any other laws than those to which their constitutional representative body have given their consent. We have no constitutional representative. We have no representative. We have people that think there are rulers. Our slave masters. I'm not a slave. I'm no bond servant. Are you? For your sake, I hope not. I guess I've gone on long enough. May God bless y'all. May Holy Spirit guide y'all. I don't really have much else to say. Prepare for some really, really, really dark times to come. Many of us won't survive. For those of us that do, may God give you strength and courage to overcome your fears. And do not give in to the fear and run. It's one thing to fall back and regroup, or to understand and realize that the adversary is too powerful at the time and evade a capture. But until that time, do not be afraid to speak out and educate. Save your money as much as you can. Buy seeds. Get powder now. Funny thing, too, by the way, before I sign off here on this, the government's talking about outlawing fireworks. Large-scale, 3-inch mortars, things like that. If you ever want to have a fun 4th of July ever again, I suggest buying them. They're also good to shoot at drones. Think about it. A 3-inch mortar pops a drone, that drone's fried. A 4th of July skeet shoot. Without the shots. Not that I condone destroying government property. Okay? I do not condone destruction of we the people government property.
Yeah, but listen, drones aren't they're a bad thing.
Even though our tax dollars, theoretically anyway, pay for those things. So those are we the people public. But food for thought. And the government knows that fireworks have a potential to not just be pretty ooh and ah in the night sky. My heart, my prayers go out to you people. And I hope the Holy Spirit fills you and gives you courage. Even in the darkest times. And I could only hope that you have half the courage that our forefathers had when marching through the snow with nothing but rags on their feet. Because they didn't give up. They persevered.
persevered. Oh, believe me, they wanted to quit. They wanted to go home. But they knew they couldn't. They had to continue on. So, pray for y'all. Hope y'all pray for me. May the Holy Spirit guide y'all. God bless. How far along are we on time? How much time we have left?
It's 12:26. We're over 26 minutes.
Oh, so we went over? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oops. Okay.
Would you like to do
well,
that?
Well, folks. If you came here to hear about seeds or guns or bravado, sorry, but you didn't get that tonight. Our country's really, really in bad trouble. There are other times to talk about other things. You want to learn some stuff? It's pretty cool. Go to texaspreparednessgroup.bing.com, I think that's what it is. N-I-N-G. Bing. Can learn stuff there. Even if you're not a Texan. I've found that those people are of like-mindedness in many ways. Not everybody's all the same. But anyway, with that, take care. God bless. May He guide you with His Holy Spirit. Okay, Renee, do your thing.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming and participating. And it was nice to hear Blake and Brian come to the show. And
yes, indeed. Yes. Thank you, Blake and Brian.
I was expecting them to come at a late time like this, but that was really nice of them. Thank you for coming, and hope you come back to our show again sometime. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening, coming, and this show will be partially archived. So if you want to hear the rest, some of the people that got cut off there, Barry told them. So, okay, we'll see you next Tuesday. Okay?
See you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Happy trails.
Bye.